Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Friday, the fifth day of February 2010. We're going to be live here for the next 4 hours, and then I'll be back live on Super Bowl Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. The only day we're not live is Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. Again, thank you for joining us. Damon Vickers, top analyst and broker and researcher on the economy, will be joining us to talk about what's happening in commodities, with gold plunging, along with many other commodities, the stock market plunging, where he thinks that is going, as well as Bob Chapman in the third hour, another expert on the economy. Bob Chapman, the international forecaster, will be joining us to track that as we do every Friday in review. Now, ladies and gentlemen, 30 minutes before airtime, we made an amazing discovery, and I went and checked it out and vetted it for myself. They are correct. I found reports on WRAL-TV. I found an AP article on it, as well as a CNBC article dealing with it. But the folks that connected the dots were Bungalow Bill's blog, Obama picks MIAC report governor to serve on Advisory Council for Defense and National Security Issues Council of Governors. They're only picking 10 governors to be pet minions for the federal takeover. We're going to be breaking this down today. And look at who they picked. And I went through all these governors. They're all bad news globalists. Of course, Nixon continued to, at some levels, criticize the MIAC report, but not enough, in my opinion. Some of the people in the State House in Missouri did stand up against it, but it turned out it was only a version of the document written up by the feds. And, of course, the federal master document months later was also leaked to us. It was less than a year ago that Missouri Highway Patrolman faxed the Alex Jones Show a copy of J. Nixon's Modern Militia Movement Report. The MIAC report issued by Missouri governor took Tea Party images and turned them into themes of domestic terrorism. If you're pro-life, a patriot, believer in the Second Amendment and the Constitution, J. Nixon's report claims you are a suspect of domestic terrorism. So we're going to be breaking down what really goes on in the Council of Governors today. Obama extends power to governors. Obama expands federal power over the states with executive order. PDD 51 and the new executive order give Obama dictatorial power. We have the cybersecurity czar taking over the internet. It has come out 3 months ago that Obama plans to sign the secret UN copyright internet treaty, which effectively ends freedom on the web. Time Magazine, Newsweek are all calling for internet IDs to be able to get online, even worse than what China has. Australia, Italy are already enforcing unbelievably draconian internet censorship and control. It's all really happening. And Obama can't get the Senate to pass his greenhouse gas tax takeover heist, and so he's going to the states and the cities to do it. Tyranny is in full swing, but if we identify it, get the word out against it, we can shoot down the New World Order agenda. That is coming up along with a ton of other incredibly important news militarily, economically, our national security, our sovereignty. Very important broadcast today on this Friday edition, right here on the one, the only GCN Radio Network, InfoWars.com.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
It is Friday, 5th day of February, 2010. Again, thank you for joining us today. Damon Vickers, break down what's happening with the economy coming up next hour. And then, of course, Bob Chapman with his weekly visit with us. Weekend review with the economy. Market crash if U.S. policies continue, says Dick Bove. This is CNBC. We're going to be going over that. Also, global stocks at three-month low as Treasury and dollar rally. But you notice the dollar goes up, gold goes down. Dollar goes down, gold goes up. Bouncing up and down. But look at gold over the last year, the last 2 years, the last three, the last six. It is a continual climb because of devaluation of world currencies. And you see, last week, George Soros coming out saying gold bubble will pop. And we know they're in there manipulating it through the central banks. The question is, will they be successful and for how long? Because market fundamentals are in play here. And every economist we talk to says there's no way in the long run they're going to be able to suppress gold. Look how many times they've tried. What, they drove it down last year to $900, shot back up to $1,100 and something. They are trying, ladies and gentlemen. As for me, I continue to be bullish, 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 bullish on gold. I've never sold gold. I bought at $265 an ounce, or gold I bought at $600 or $800 or $1,000. I bought silver at $5 an ounce. I didn't sell it when it went to $18. It's like a squirrel burying nuts. You can't trust fiat currency. We'll be breaking all of that down today. A very important report up on prisonplanet.com by Paul Joseph Watson titled, Investigation Chief. Swine flu pandemic was a hoax. And that is what the 47-member Council of Europe Health Department has found and what he is finding. This is a pretty important news story. I hope we had him on the show. I hope people get this out to everybody because they're going to be back next year with new hoaxes unless we break their back, unless we expose these frauds. I mean, I hear Dr. Dean Adel every week in Austin, when I tune into him, because he comes on before me on Sundays. We've had Dr. Dean on before. I want to get him back on. I hear him saying we should arrest people that don't take shots. You should sue anyone that doesn't take the flu shot because they endanger your family. Well, wait a minute. If you've taken the mercury-laced, cancer virus-laced, RNA-laced, Guillain-Barré-generating shots that their own inserts say can cause neurological disorders, Guillain-Barré, death, sterilization, reduced fertility, all sorts of different autoimmune disorders. I mean, if you're taking that, then why should I have to? You're protected. You're protected from a flu that's killed, I saw one number of 11, now it's lower than 11% of what the regular seasonal flu killed this year. I mean, we're talking about a joke virus. But the media's had headlines like 37% of America tested positive with the H1N1. Yeah, and thousands of other viruses. What do you think's floating around everywhere? What do you think's in your guts, in your blood, in your brain? Viruses, bacteria, they're everywhere. We know the cure is a lot worse than the disease, but this is a big deal. Investigation Chief, swine flu pandemic was a hoax. Council of Europe chair says pharmacological companies conspired with WHO to make vast profits from fake hysteria. And he went on to say it's also a dangerous vaccine. Very, very powerful. Also, there's several big mainstream media reports on more university studies of how deadly cell phones are. And I use them. You get addicted to them, the ease, the convenience. The fact that I can do business calls and important research as I drive home and drive to work. I try to use hands-free most of the time, but always step on it or sit on it or break it, and then it takes me months to go out and get one. The point is, people say, well, is a hands-free safe? Yes, that's a radio connection. That's not affecting you. That's you know, what one billionth or something? I mean, I've had radio experts on the equivalent of sunlight on your skin, the amount of radiation hitting you. But a microwave-powered cell phone, baby, that is dangerous and even heats the brain. But point is, got reports on that. Also, airport body scanning raises radiation exposure, committee says. That's from Bloomberg. Of course, we told you years ago these body scanners are dangerous. So being vindicated and verified and bona fide there as usual. Now, on another big subject, the climate gate fraud, you may think we've beaten Copenhagen, but the globalists are simply going to regional governments around the world, state governments, locales, the central banks that run this scam that are set to be paid the tax money and currently are by many nations in Europe and Canada and Australia. They are coming in and buying off your local city councils, saying, oh, you want all these loans? Oh, you want all this money? Oh, you want your wife to get a job or your husband or your cousin or your son or daughter? It's the same thing with the NAFTA superhighways. And they just buy off the local officials. Most mayors that vote for the toll roads to take over existing roads, if you go research them in city council people, in every case, their son, daughter, wife, or cousin is given some $100,000, $300,000, $400,000 job sitting on their fat butt for the toll road companies. It's just wide open corruption. They all need to be arrested. But they just do it out in the open. So sick of it. Anyways, I'm ranting here. The point is, yes, we have wounded them. But if you're in a sword fight with somebody and you hack into their arm and blood starts spraying out, that's when they're most dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. Now they know this is life and death. And they're going to reach down and find their good old boy guts in the New World Order and come at us in ways we can't even imagine. So you better be on guard right now, because they are coming for you. They are slashing for your throat. They are slashing for your arms and legs and your gut. And you better get fired up. So many times in a fight, I've experienced this. I know you've experienced this in life. A lot of people, a lot of bullies will sit there, and we're not the bully here. We're fighting the bully. But this psychology works both ways. When somebody starts a fight with you and you land a big blow and stun them, if you wait a few seconds just to see what your blow's done, you're about to get your butt kicked, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? You win the fight by piling on. When you punch somebody in the nose and break their nose, and they're a big guy who started the fight with you, you don't quit. Now you punch them in the throat. You punch them in the teeth. You grab their head. If they keep coming, you slam it in the concrete. You get the job done. Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, and it's the same thing in this political fight against the New World Order. They want to physically come in with their environmental cultist, their environmental control freaks, and suck everything out of you. Period. Your farms, your ranches, your businesses, your factories, everything. They are parasites. They are bloodsuckers. Look out. Okay? Just because we broke the New World Order's nose, and believe me, we did, we've only got them hopping mad right now. But we've also shown our people that this enemy is not invincible. They're flesh and blood, just like us. They put their pants on one leg at a time. Now, we are routing them further, though, but we need to absolutely devastate them, and we are. It looks like we may devastate them. It looks like they've still got their people in place at the county, city, state, federal level. They still have the bureaucracies worldwide moving against free humanity. But when I tell you on a daily basis, new scandals come out, it's multi-times per day. Sea-level blunder enrages Dutch minister. This is Radio Netherlands, the official national radio. Their government went out and lied to people and said that the country was going to be flooded and put out statistics that are complete lies, and this has now been proven. And in fact, I thought I printed this article, guys. I only have the cover sheet on Radio Netherlands. Well, Watson has a link to it on Prison Planet. Can you guys print this for me? But they came out and said that 40%+ of the country is below sea level and is going to flood. And it turns out, going from memory here from a few hours ago researching this, that only 22% is below sea level. And that's the reclaimed areas with the Dutch dikes. Just like they say, the Himalayas are all going to melt. And it turns out that's a fraud. Here's another one. Detectives question climate change scientist over email leaks, The Guardian. And this time, they're not just they're questioning about who stole them and released them. They're questioning the fraudulent scientists themselves. And they're now under criminal investigation in the emails for colluding with government officials to suppress the fraudulent data. Remember, they never released their data. And the media keeps saying, well, we've got other peer-reviewed journals. No, those are all based on other fraud. Turns out the Himalayan data was based on a mountaineering student's photography book claiming that they'd seen snow dissipate, in the summer. They'll aim a camera at a mountain and show it to you in the summer next to a photo from the winter a year before and say, look, most of the snow melted. Al Gore's now in trouble, as people point out, that he said five polar bears died, five polar bears drowned. And what happened is a North Atlantic typhoon hit and killed them. Their numbers are actually way up. See, that's how they spin it. Oh, look, some polar bears drowned. In a North Atlantic typhoon. 180-mile-an-hour winds. That's in the news today. The Express reports, Prince Charles on climate change says global warming skeptics are liars. And then Pachauri talked to the Times of London. And I forgot to print this. Will you guys print it for me? He talked to him and he said, oh, the people that don't believe in man-made global warming, they think asbestos is good and they, quote, want to rub their faces in it. What does that even have? It's just totally made up. It's like Al Gore saying you don't believe in moon landings. If you say that the science isn't settled, it doesn't stop there. India forms new climate change body. Indian government establishes its own body to monitor the effects of global warming because it, quote, cannot rely on the United Nations because they're a bunch of liars. Blunder enrages Dutch minister, Radio Netherlands. A United Nations report wrongly claimed that more than half of the Netherlands, more than half, is currently below sea level. In fact, just 20% of the country consists of polders that are pumped dry and which are at risk of flooding if global warming causes sea levels to rise. And those are man-made, by the way. They've reclaimed the sea. Dutch Environment Minister Jacqueline Kramer has ordered a thorough investigation into the quality of the climate reports, which she uses to base her policies on. It's all lies. They said that the glaciers in the Himalayan mountains, the roof of the world, were all melting and within just a decade would be completely melted. And then now they've gone to actual universities in that region, India, Kashmir, Pakistan, China, Tibet, and it turns out they've got record glaciers forming. Just complete lies. It was based on a undergraduate study, photography study. Just totally made up. Just totally, completely made up. But every UN report is a complete fantasy land fraud. They said in the 60s, we were going to have a complete ice age by the 80s. They're playing the public because the public is looking at things day to day and thinks, well, it is hot this summer. Boy, it's cold this winter. Must be an ice age. Must be a global heating. I mean, I've seen Bill Maher and just all of them show video of a dust storm in Australia, when half the country is basically a desert, and he went on TV and said, look at this dust storm. This is like the end of the world. This is global warming. And then I already knew from reading about Australia, I've always been interested in it, I've never been there, that the country has giant dust storms every year, ever since they put Westerners there as a penal colony to observe it. And then Bill Maher in the same program, and I've seen it duplicated everywhere, said, look at the fires in Los Angeles. It's global warming. No, It's 10 million people in the metro area with a bunch of crazy arsonists that run around into the rich neighborhoods through jealousy and set fires everywhere. That's what's doing it. That area of Southern California has always been high desert. It's high desert. There's cactuses growing everywhere. Of course, if you move 10 million people into a high desert and have a bunch of arsonists running around and people throwing cigarettes out of their cars and campfires and illegal alien camps everywhere, that's where a lot of the fires have been confirmed to come from, you're going to have fires during the hot, dry time in the summer when you got 30-mile-an-hour winds or more. But no, it's global warming because Bill Maher says so. But look at this comical response. IPCC boss, after Greenpeace demanded his resignation, becomes unhinged. Headline, IPCC boss unhinged as Greenpeace demands resignation. Green hypocrite Pachauri says critics apply asbestos to their faces. That's as nonsensical as his fake reports. With the pressure on IPCC boss Pachauri increasing as the head of Greenpeace calls for his resignation, one of the most notorious green con artists is showing signs of cracking up, comparing his critics to an imaginary group of people who like to rub asbestos on their faces. Pachauri has become one of the primary targets following the ClimateGate revelations, and his reputation was further demolished last week when it was revealed that he is a total hypocrite when it comes to green credentials he thinks everyone should embrace. For the one-mile journey from his $7 million home to his Delhi office, Pachauri doesn't walk, cycle, or use public transport or hybrid low-energy vehicles. He employs a driver to collect him with a 1.8-liter Toyota Corolla. Dr. Pachauri, who is IPCC chairman, once told people to eat less meat and cut greenhouse gas emissions, was driven to an upmarket restaurant popular with expatriates and well-off tourists just half a mile from his luxurious family home, reports the Daily Mail. But it's Pachauri's involvement in what has been dubbed Glaciergate that has led to calls for his resignation. A mantra joined today by Greenpeace, whose director John Sauvin said that Pachauri's refusal to step down has tarnished the credibility of the IPCC. Then we'll get into his bizarre asbestos comments straight ahead.
I hear the train coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I
haven't even gotten into who Lord Obama has chosen to head up his council of governors, his puppet governors, so he can act like he's not taking over the states. His puppet dictator lapdogs. And now he picked the terrorism chief from Governor Nixon, the author of the MIAC report, the person that put out, regurgitated the federal report demonizing returning veterans, gun owners, conservatives, libertarians in the fetters, and others as the number one enemy of America. That is coming up. But back to the green hypocrite Pachauri in deep trouble. And stay there, Pachauri. Don't resign, you arrogant creature, you Nobel Prize winner with Al Gore. But it's Pachauri's involvement in what has been dubbed Glaciergate that has led to calls for his resignation. A mantra joined today by Greenpeace. The IPCC needs to retain credibility. See, this is a desperate measure by these people. Is that going to happen with Pachauri as chairman? I don't think so. We need someone, this is the head of Greenpeace, held in high regard, who has extremely good judgment and is seen by the global public as someone on their side. IPCC boss then continued with his propaganda. Pressure increased on Pachauri after it was revealed that the IPCC claim that the Himalayan glaciers could melt by 2035 was based on a speculative whim and was not backed by any formal research. The notion that glaciers could melt within 25 years, one of the reports says 10, well, Gore says within 5 the poles are going to melt, has since been ridiculed. Pachauri's obstinate refusal to quit under the weight of condemnation from his own peers is seemingly having an effect on the former railway engineer's mental stability. Responding to critics in the Financial Times interview, Pachauri says man-made global warming skeptics are, quote, people who say that asbestos is as good as talcum powder. Just totally made up. Expanding on the ludicrous theme, Pachauri expressed his hope that such people apply it to their faces every day. No, we're talking about carbon dioxide, bub, not asbestos. Accompanying his reactionary and immature way of handling criticism is Pachauri's blind self-delusion that he has done no wrong. And he went on from there. This is the guy who just got millions of dollars with a steel mill he owns in India. The British government paid to have the oldest and one of the largest steel mills in England shut down, one of the biggest employers in that area, and moved to India. So they don't just take your jobs, they pay to move them. Kind of like General Motors of the $25 billion plus they got of the $50 billion bailout total to the automakers. Ford didn't take it, only one turning a profit. They took the money and moved the factories to Russia, Eastern Europe, China, and Brazil. On record. Don't believe me, just Google the term. GM uses bailout money to move to Brazil or China or Eastern Europe. There's a bunch of articles on that. Same thing here. It's deindustrialization, as the head climatologist for NASA said. We want to destroy industrial society. He wrote a book saying it. Published it last year. If you go to a smart growth conference or you go to a UN conference or you read the transcripts, it's like a bunch of parrots in a tree or ducks quacking the same thing. Shut down industrial society. Shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down in the third world. A death sentence. Meanwhile, 20% of the Netherlands is reclaimed sea with the dikes. But the UN report says 50%+ is under sea level and will flood. A complete lie. The Dutch government going crazy. Outraged. Sea level blunder enrages the head Dutch minister over the environment because they look like absolute idiots now. And they want to salvage their takeover. So when these people come into your city, your state, your town, and try to circumvent the Congress that won't pass this takeover and this fraudulent treaty, remember, it's illegal and based on fraud. But it doesn't matter. Prince Charles tells the press, and this is out of the Express newspaper, Prince Charles on climate change, global warming skeptics are all liars. That's a quote. We're all liars. We're the liars. Yes. Prince Charles rejected mounting evidence that climate change is a myth and insisted there is overwhelming proof of global warming today. In his first response to the furor over claims that scientists have covered up research casting doubt on the greenhouse effect, Prince Charles voiced his dismay and alarm at those who questioned the science behind climate change. The heir to the throne raised the controversy in a speech at Manchester, where he launched a new initiative called START to provide the public with advice on how to lead more environmentally sustainable lives. It means paying more money, more taxes. Charles, the big fat parasite, who has campaigned on global warming for more than 20 years, said, I have watched with growing dismay and alarm the glee. Yes, that we're not your slaves, yes. The glee with which the skeptics, you mean the scientists, have leapt upon the recent news stories that question the science, no, that show that it's a premeditated fraud, that climate change is man-made and suggested it's nothing more than a myth. Well, if it is a myth, this is him talking, well, if it is a myth and the global scientific community is involved in some sort of conspiracy, why is it then that around the globe sea levels are more than 6 inches higher than they were 100 years ago? This isn't opinion. This is a fact. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm quoting the prince. And ladies and gentlemen, please be in no doubt that the evidence of long-term and potentially irreversible changes to our world is utterly overwhelming. Charles spoke after arriving at the Manchester by royal train, pulled by a coal-fired steam locomotive. One trip of the train cost more than £1 million. Charles spoke after arriving in Manchester by royal train, pulled by coal fire steam locomotive. Oh, dreadful! The plants will love the carbon dioxide that spews from the maw of the train coal car. Charles spoke after arriving in Manchester by royal train, pulled by a coal-fired steam locomotive named the Tornado, which was built from a 1948 design. He continued, if the change is a myth, why are the sea levels at more than 6 inches above? And it continues, folks, I have gone and looked at sea level metering rates from San Francisco, randomly. Remember a month ago on air? I've looked at the sea levels in other major cities. And the sea level is lower than it was, and these are meters that have been recorded every day at these ports, than it was 200 years ago. In some areas, it is an inch or so higher than it was 100 years ago, but it goes up and down. Certainly not 6 inches like he says. I mean, don't believe me. Go look at not some fake UN report. Go actually to ports. In fact, guys, you did that last time, and it took you to the major port there in San Francisco. And then we also looked at the different government numbers, and it was all identical. And it was a graph going back to the 1840s in San Francisco when they started really scientifically measuring it. Because I want to make, I know that levels are overall down from then, but I want to have it in front of me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just all fraud. Sorry, Charles. People aren't listening to you anymore, and your eugenicist father who wants to cut off resources to the people of the planet. And here is the London Telegraph today. India forms new climate change body. The Indian government has established its own body to monitor the effects of global warming because it, quote, cannot rely, oh dear me, on the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the group headed by its own leading scientist, Dr. R.K. Pachauri. What, do you have a peer-reviewed journal that we dunk our heads in asbestos daily, Pachauri? The move is a significant snub to both the IPCC and Dr. Pachauri as he battles to defend his reputation following revelations that his most recent climate change report included false claims that most of the Himalayan glaciers would melt away. Scientists believe it could take more than 300 years, even with the fake data. The body and its chairman have faced growing criticism ever since, as questions have been raised on the credibility of their work and the rigor with which climate change claims are assessed. And it says the government is angry with Pachauri. Here's another one from CBS 3. Cash-strapped states feeling burden of snow. Government budgets are bigger than ever, but they just can't clean the snow up. Government just can't do anything. Can't fill potholes, can't clean up snow, but can pay all your tax money to bankers, though. They can do that. Oh, yes, there's no problem with that. Another winter storm on another weekend could be bad news for your wallet. Oh, yes, and it's flooding here in Central Texas and very cold, but, oh, it's warming. For the second week in a row, Dell Dot plow driver spent the day Thursday going over their trucks getting ready for Saturday snowfall. And it just talks about the record snowfall is busting their budgets. Of their $4.3 million budget in one city, only 431,000 remains. What are they going to do because of all the global warming causing all the snow? And now the UN says, oh yes, more snow means global warming. They kind of built that fraud into the day after tomorrow, where global warming means freezing. See, they hedge their bets, going, well, we have no idea if it's going to get hotter or colder, so let's hedge our bets. Meanwhile, real environmental issues like frequency pollution. Here's GQ Magazine. Warning, your cell phone may be hazardous to your health. They have a cell phone next to a pack of Marlboro Reds. Charlie Sheen's favorite cigarette. Smoke a pack of those with him. You get one hell of a headache, man. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. But that doesn't matter. The cell phones, the naked body scanners, now they want X-ray machines in because they're afraid of breast implant bombs. I'm not kidding. Toyota chief apologizes for global recall. Don't worry about new SmartStack corn from Monsanto to replace all their major corn crops to be the majority by next year, already being planted nationwide, that has 8 genetic traits stacked, 6 of them pesticide that's grown in the corn, so 6 different species of bug can't eat it. But you gonna eat it. But that doesn't matter because Prince Charles and Pachari are warning us of the glaciers melting and us drowning. Oh, dear me. You can put all the cell phone towers you want on top of first grade classes. You can drink the sodium fluoride. You can enjoy the dioxin in the water. You can enjoy the Agent Orange and depleted uranium. You can enjoy the nanotech. You can enjoy the cross-species chimeras. You can enjoy mercury-laced vaccines. But don't you dare put out carbon dioxide. The rabble needs to be restricted to one child. But the colleague Ted Turner has 5. All right, I'm going to stop the British accent. Don't worry, the government's going to keep you very, very, very safe from Toyota. My gosh, there might have been more than 50 people with a rare computer malfunction where it sticks for a few seconds. Oh, don't worry, the feds are going after them. The feds will protect you from Toyota and their evil Prius. But when it comes out, melamine is in over 90% of the baby formula, liquid plastic that destroys the liver and kidneys and creates plaques in the brain and plaques in your arteries. It's not a problem. Think about that. 2 years ago, it comes out, thousands are dying in China, people are getting sick everywhere, and they just tell the American Medical Association, don't worry, melamine's not a problem, don't even look at it in diagnoses of why a 3-year-old's got kidney failure. And they say, melamine is now good for you, just like mercury now is, but what are we going to do, what are we going to do, what are we going to do? 50-something people say that for a few seconds their accelerator got stuck. And yeah, that's dangerous and not a good thing, but Toyota didn't do it on purpose. But there's endless talk in every talk show and every newspaper, just endless. And Toyota's losing $300 million a week and on and on and on and on. Meanwhile, I had a Tahoe that they couldn't fix 10 years ago. Whose accelerator would stick. I was in Colorado driving around on a mountain road and the accelerator stuck. Ooh, that was not fun. Oh, my goodness. I mean, these machines aren't perfect, ladies and gentlemen. But see, something that is minute, minuscule, microscopic, compared to over 150 deadly chemicals on average, added by design to the water, that is not a problem. Just thought I would illustrate that today. Okay, when we come back, the big top story today, and I'll only spend 5 minutes on it, and then after Damon Vickers leaves us on the economy, when Bob Chapman gets on, I'll bring this up to him, and we'll flesh it out with him and then get more into the economy. But Obama picks his new government advisors from the states. Yes. Obama picks MIAC report governor to serve on advisory council for defense and national security issues, Council of Governors. And guess who's over Homeland Security advisory role to the feds? Guess who's over that? Oh, well, I will tell you. Governor Nixon, who ordered the federal report put out to the state police. Then, of course, it turned out every state was getting similar reports written by the feds, and we got the federal master report saying the government is circling the wagons against gun owners, returning veterans, conservatives, libertarians, Ron Paul supporters, Bob Barr supporters. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central, back Sunday 4 to 6 Central. We are here live. We have a surprise guest in the last hour in studio on Sunday. I'll just leave it at that for you, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up at 8 after, when we start the second segment, we're going to be simulcasting for 3 hours and I guess right at 2 hours and 58 minutes or so. 2 hours and 52 minutes. My God, what's wrong with my brain? At prisonplanet.tv, ladies and gentlemen. So that is coming up. Again, starting the second segment next hour for the balance of the second, third, and fourth hour. We will be simulcasting this syndicated radio broadcast in living color at prisonplanet.tv. So tune into the TV show if you're interested at prisonplanet.tv. It's 15 cents a day. It is $5.95 a month, or get a yearly membership and get 3 months free at prisonplanet.tv. All of my films in super high quality, download them, burn them to disc, give them to people. The live TV show, the archives of the live TV show, a higher quality bitrate podcast for prisonplanet.tv members. By next week, we're going to add 4 members, a 64 kilobit link. It's 32 for everybody for free at InfoWars.com. We'll have something with basically double the quality, or right at double the quality for everybody at prisonplanet.tv. And, of course, my book, Paul Watson's book. You see my films when they just come out first there in the highest online quality. Prisonplanet.tv. And archives of the TV show as well. And we're going to be adding a lot of new features in the next few weeks to prisonplanet.tv, but I will leave that unnamed until then. We've also been adding a lot of new books and videos to the site, and it's now up on the Yahoo shopping cart at InfoWars.com. We are going to have the book first, American Conspiracies, Lies, Lies, and More Lies the Government Tells You, by Jesse Ventura. They are shipping me the books in about a week, but I have to sit on top of them. But I'm allowed to ship them out to you in early March on March 8th. And you're not going to be able to get a better deal on the book anywhere, because we're discounting it by $5. The book's $24.95. We're selling it for $19.95. And it's a great book, by the way. I've just gotten my 2 copies in. Incredible info. Covers a wide range of issues in Ventura's unique voice. He wrote it while he was down in Mexico. You can get Aaron Russo's Reflections and Warnings, the 90-minute documentary I made, free. You can get Loose Change Final Cut, free. You can get Fall of the Republic, half price. But we have 2 different free video deals where you get the book discounted by $5 and a $19.95 free video. Free. So you get a book and a video for $19.95. The free deal at InfoWars.com. And you know how time flies. These will be shipped out to you in early March. before you know it, it'll be in the mail. So if you want to get Ventura's book first, delivered to your door, order it today at Infowars.com. Pre-order and get the free DVD of your choice or Fall of the Republic half price. And let's say you know all about the New World Order. Buy the book and give it to friends or family and get the free DVD. Watch it for yourself and then make copies of it and give it to folks. This is how we're waking people up. People are ready to be awakened as the bankruptcy of the United States is now a certainty by design. All right, I'll get into the governors for 5 minutes and the takeover there. Then we got Damon Vickers coming up on the economy. And boy, is that important news. And your phone calls and a lot more. Stay with us, second hour straight ahead.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to start simulcasting with syndicated radio broadcast and living television color at prisonplanet.tv in T-minus 7 minutes, 15 seconds. Damon Vickers coming up. We are live, Friday, the 5th day of February, 2010. Okay, Bungalow Bill's conservative wisdom blog alerted us to this morning. I went and looked it up, and it was true. It is being reported by TV and radio stations in Missouri that this is indeed going on. Obama's pick for his new governor's council is Myack Report governor. Remember the Myack Report governor, the first governor to get caught reissuing and rewriting a federal document that we were leaked early last year. I told folks it was really just a federal document. And, of course, later that came out and we got it and released it. People couldn't believe it. And then it was confirmed to be real. I just called the FBI phone numbers up on it and said, is this your document? Obama picks Myack Report governor to serve on Advisory Council for Defense and National Security Issues, Council of Governors. And what does the Internal Homeland Security document state? It tells you who the real enemy is of the government, the American people. Returning veterans, gun owners, conservatives, returning vets who are gun owners, libertarians, Ron Paul, Bob Barr supporters, people with American flag stickers, don't tread on me stickers, get us out of the UN stickers, people that give out Aaron Russo's America Freedom to Fascism video. That's included with white supremacist material. Nothing about Jews or Germans or gypsies in there. It's made by a Jew. They don't care. They don't care. You don't talk bad about the Federal Reserve. You don't talk bad about the IRS. You don't talk bad about abortions. You sit down, you shut up, and you take it. And now this guy on the 10-member board, the president is taking over the states, taking over the internet, taking over everything. Doesn't care if the Senate won't pass his land-grabbing cap-and-trade bill. He just says he'll have the EPA do it, in-run around national sovereignty. And so to make it look like the governors in the states agree, he goes and picks 10 lapdogs, and we now have their names. One of them, Governor Nixon. And, of course, he's over the Homeland Security part. Of course he is. He understands the real threat. The American people. He's a good Bushoid, Obamaoid. It was less than a year ago, the Missouri Highway Patrol faxed the Alex Jones Show a copy of J. Nixon's Modern Militia Movement Report, the Myack Report, issued by the Missouri governor, took Tea Party images and turned them into themes of domestic terrorism. If you're pro-life, a patriot, a believer in the Second Amendment and the Constitution, J. Nixon's report claims you are the suspect of domestic terrorism. The report was soon followed by the Department of Homeland Security report with similar language. A few more states issued reports as well. I guess it was a job done well by Missouri governor. Barack Obama named Jay Nixon to his advisory council for defense and national security issues. This was made possible thanks to an executive order Obama signed that was left over from Bush administration that forms a council of governors. Since Nixon has been a good Obama puppet, he earned some stripes in the Obama administration. The executive order gives the federal government more power over the state militia, your National Guard, and it continues. We'll talk about this some with Damon Vickers today as well, and what really happens with this council of Gruppenführers. Stay with us. Damon Vickers, straight ahead. It is Friday, the 5th day of February.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Thank you for joining us. We are now 8 minutes into this second hour on this Friday edition. We've got a key article up at Infowars.com titled Top 10 Problems with Assassinating American Citizens. The government says it can assassinate U.S. citizens. I remember 5 years ago seeing a Jerusalem Post article, then a UPI article, and then a Reuters story where Israel said that they would kill American citizens inside the U.S., and I thought that was pretty shocking if they were connected to Al-Qaeda. Now our own government says, abroad or domestically, they will send in hit teams to kill whoever they want. No judge, no jury, no getting sent to Guantanamo Bay and tortured for 6, 7, 8 years and then put on a kangaroo trial. Now they'll just kill you. I want to get more into that coming up today and how it dovetails with this complete federal takeover of our society that's happening. Again, Obama has appointed this 10-member gubernatorial board. Bush started this, again, seamless integration with Homeland Security. We pointed out when we were leaked the MIAC report, we were leaked a California report and a Missouri report. For some reason, the Missouri report got all the attention. Then we were leaked the federal report, where Homeland Security and NORTHCOM are set up for the American people. We are seen as the enemy. We are the people that this is designed for, because the foreign banks taking over our country know what they're doing is criminal. And we pointed out that the earlier version of that same coded MIAC report, the same code number, had been issued in April of 2008, before Obama even got into office. So it was Bush's people doing that, but the neocons picked it up and spun it. So this governor's council was started by Bush. Obama expanded it with an executive order, has now ceded it to, quote, work with the states to counter terrorism. And the governor that put out the first MIAC report, which is a mirror of the federal report, Governor Nixon is the head of that subsection of the governor's council for Homeland Security. And so we're going to be, again, breaking that down today. We have some excellent articles from last month that detail all this, but we now know who the governor's council is made up of. And again, we'll cover that next hour, exactly who these people are. Obama expands federal power over the states with executive order. Kurt Nemo, Infowars.com. We have another key report here from Prison Planet. Paul Joseph Watson, PDD 51. A new executive order give Obama dictator power. Last roadblocks to martial law, United States eliminated. And we have the cybersecurity boss, again, resigning last year, saying the Pentagon is taking over the web. And then we get the secret treaty that Obama is saying he's going to sign with the UN. This is official news as of 3 months ago, but was only in a few newspapers, just massive import. But the average person doesn't even know, saying they do plan to ratchet down and shut down the web and make you have an ID to get on the web and track everything you're doing. China doesn't even make you have a web ID. They just filter and block most things with Microsoft technology that Bill Gates had put in there. Now, of course, it comes out with what we reported 5 years ago with our CIA source, Steele. Mr. Steele, we need to get him back on. And in that report that came out in the Washington Post on Wednesday, in fact, I've got it here in my stack, Google to enlist NSA to help it ward off cyber attacks. That's the spin. But 5 years ago, Google moved in with NASA at a research facility. They're putting in the control grids. Yahoo's involved. No one is involved as much as Microsoft in all of this as well. So we need to ask the question, as citizens, are we going to allow ourselves to become like China? Are we going to let this control grid be put in place to take over our society? That is a very important question to ask. And we'll be discussing it coming up in the next hour. Right now, we're joined by Damon Vickers of Nine Points Capital Partners. The website is www.nps. Again, that's www.nps.npm.us. For some reason, I can't read that. www.npm.us. And of course, he's a big pundit all over national television for major publications. Damon Vickers is one of the very few who has successfully navigated both bull and bear markets profitably over the last 25 years. His clients and investment partners have invested in a who's who of some of the best performing stocks of the last two decades. Companies like Cisco Systems, Starbucks Coffee, and Amazon.com, to name a few. Damon called the top of the equities market in 2000 and in 2008 during the worst market year since 1987. One of his funds had a 63% returns. It says Damon's trend following approach allows him to embrace both up and down markets equally. Damon's fluid investment style has resulted in him consistently being named one of the top money managers in the country. And again, he's with and heads up npm.us. I was having a dyslexic moment there. Damon, it's good to have you back on with us.
Hey, good to be with you as well, Alex. Good morning, good afternoon to everybody.
Where do you join us from today?
We're in the beautiful island of Kauai, out near Haina, and we've got a nice house here right on the ocean, and pretty nice day today.
Wish I was there. I've never gotten to go to Hawaii. I'm too busy here in the info bunker.
Oh, I know it. I know. Well, if you've been here about, I guess, 3 weeks ago, we could have hung out with Julia Roberts and her kids.
Apparently, really?
She just bought the house next door.
Well, here, I'll name drop. Willie Nelson invited me, and he really did. He said, come out for a week and play dominoes and chess with him and Woody Harrelson in Maui. I think that's where he said.
Wow.
But unfortunately.
That would really be cool, Alex. That would be neat. That
yeah, be but I'd be permanently stoned if I did that, though. I'd be forced to draw off the vaporizing hookah.
I know it. I could just imagine it. I know it. Yeah, I was probably something we should talk about today, actually, at some point. All the push for medical marijuana, just keep everybody all doped up. Yeah.
Now, you know, I may disagree with you on that because the government's pushing Ritalin, Prozac, all these really toxic things. I know people abuse marijuana, but I don't see marijuana as bad as alcohol. I guess you're against marijuana decriminalization?
No, I'm not. I don't think the government should probably actively preclude anybody from doing hardly anything. However, as a society, the medication, the medicating ourselves, whether it be through Paxil or Depakote or Aleve or smoking pot all day, is just really the wrong direction, I think, not only for individuals but as a nation. And it dulls the mind, it dulls the senses, and it does not allow, I would argue, that excessive use of marijuana doesn't help a person really focus, really, and they're just kind of lazy and lethargic. And
now, I've seen a lot of zombie.
We've got a real problem with non-motivation in this country as it is in most of the Western nations. And so I think medicating with Paxil, Depakote, Aleve, and increasingly marijuana, I don't think really, or alcohol, doesn't really do anything to help us.
Well, I agree with you, and I do know a lot of zombie potheads. But I also know a lot of people that smoke it sparingly who are, you know, great professionals. My issue is I don't want to pay to put them in prison. And I know the government and big banks have been caught controlling the drug trade and laundering the money for a long time.
Good. I definitely agree with that. You know, they're putting people in prison because they drink too much alcohol or too much pot or whatever other adventures they may find themselves doing. I don't think that makes any sense either. I agree with that.
All right, Damon, the reason we've got you on today is because you are a very successful financial trends forecaster and expert. We want to pick your brain, and we're going to go to break here in a moment. We've got a few minutes here, so I want to go ahead and throw this out. We're seeing reports where they're talking about bankruptcy for the United States is now certain. We've got George Soros basically calling a plunge in gold last week. We have central banks going in trying to prop up the dollar, drive down gold. Why? We have CNBC reporting market crash if U.S. policies continue. So we have all this volatility, stocks plunging yesterday. What is causing all of this, Damon Vickers?
Well, we've got a number of things going on. Critically, you know, we started this off talking about marijuana, but how does that relate to the whole picture here? You've got a lot of the world, Alex, the United States, Western Europe, Greece, Portugal, Spain, the U.K., the debt that is out there is just ginormous. And the ability to borrow money has delayed a lot of people pursuing jobs, let alone the 99 weeks of unemployment that people can now get under the Obama administration. So the issues right now are debt, a tremendous amount of debt in the planet, the lack of creation of jobs. It's looking like that in this latest downturn since 2007, we lost about 8.5 million jobs. This just came out from the Labor Department. The unemployment rate dipped a little bit today in the numbers that came out today, but it's still looking kind of dour. And a lot of those jobs, Alex, I don't think a lot of those jobs are ever going to come back. They're in industries that were overbuilt, like the construction industry, like the distribution of credit industry and the mortgage industry. I don't think those jobs are coming back for a long time, and I don't know what else those people can do. It has been hitting the gold market a little bit. However, the trend for gold is still up, even with this pullback. I know it's hard to endure, but it is. Should nations, we can talk about that and whether or not that becomes a liquidation point to raise assets as a store of value, and that could happen. And really, it's the recovery of what? So really, it is about jobs. It is about jobs in the world and productivity and making Europeans and European nations on the planet productive people.
All right, stay there, Damon Vickers.
That's going to take a change in people's minds.
Stay there, got a break. He is the head of Nine Points Capital Partners. The website is nancypaulmary.us, npm.us, our site's infowars.com.
Jones from 1810 to 1913 made his great-grandchildren believe.
Damon Vickers is our guest, a very, very successful trends forecaster, researcher. He heads up Nine Points Capital Partners. Okay, this is a short segment. Getting right back to you, Damon. You were getting into why the stock market's plunging, what's happening with gold, where you see this economy. They're already talking about another stimulus. The jobless numbers are exploding. We have Pennsylvania on the verge of bankruptcy, California. They're now talking about raiding pension funds, taking people's pensions and the government managing it. I mean, this does not look pretty.
No, it doesn't. But, I mean, it comes back to productivity and the United States being a going concern. You opened up the show at the beginning of talking about, well, the United States bankrupt. Yeah, we're bankrupt. The United States has been bankrupt for years. You may draw some comfort, though, I suppose, that it's not just us, that it's also the United Kingdom, it's Greece, it's Portugal, it's Spain, it's a lot of Western Europe as well. When we went off currencies actually representing anything and we fired up the printing presses, we have just printed and printed and printed and printed more money and more money and more money, and the planet as a whole has all bought into this game of he who has the most monopoly money wins. And that, whether it's 10 million or 50 million or 100 million, and we're all striving to accumulate more of these, quote, dollars or euros or whatever it is. And they represent nothing. Our values are off, our relationship to debt has been a very huge problem, and it enabled, like the pot, Paxil, Depakote, and Aleve, the debt has also medicated us, not unlike the way those things have medicated us, and given us the false sense of prosperity and the illusion that everything is okay, when things are really not okay. And so, you know, we talk about the bankruptcy of the United States as being a bad thing. Maybe the ultimate bankruptcy of the United States is the best thing that could possibly happen. And perhaps we should hasten its arrival and build from there.
But, Damon, isn't the key to this, though, if we have a bankruptcy and the same systems are then continued after that, the big central banks and the players at the top are going to get even more control in power and continue using the central banks to give themselves insider knowledge and unlimited funding.
Well, they're funding of what, Alex? I mean, they're controlling of what? Worthless currencies. They're playing the same game that everybody else is.
But haven't they already pre-positioned themselves with the fiat currency when it still had value to buy real assets?
What value do the real assets really have if you can't exchange it to anything? So So you own. I mean, what would be the real asset that you would think that they would own that would have so much value that gives them an advantage over you? What?
Large defense contractors.
They take over the global monetary system and then they basically enslave us. We're already there.
I agree.
I don't know what their victory is. And if they totally want the next bubble.
They want the carbon tax. They've said, yes, we run you. Yes, it's world government. Yes, the bankers rule you, and you're now going to pay us carbon taxes. But that's failing.
Yeah, that is come unglued too as well. Well, there's a lot of debt out there. The job growth is the problem. I think it's, you know, you and I were going back and forth, and you know about on jobs and. It's hard to get a lot of the world productive. It's hard to get people to be productive. You know, it seems often in most organizations that we need to put $5 of effort and of money into a person to even get a dollar of output. And I would say that that's the case of a lot of workers, particularly in the United States.
So you're saying the industrialized world is a bunch of TV-watching couch potatoes, who just want everything for free. And I agree, it's not just the corrupt elite that have facilitated this. It is the sloth-like zombies that have played right into their hands. And now the elite are going to use the sloth zombies to rob the middle class.
I don't know. I don't know that there's much value there either, Alex. Most of the middle class all leveraged themselves up to the eyeballs. They're pretty much wiped out. The smarter people, the people that have always had money, they didn't go into much debt. They pay cash for things.
I don't have any debt.
Well, there you go. All of us can't be as rich as you, Alex.
I'm not that rich. I mean, I tried to be a good steward to run my operation, but I just don't really go into debt, except for maybe a house.
But you see, that's your personality. Your personality. I mean, what I get from you in the brief time that we've known one another. Is that you're really about focusing soberly and clearly at issues.
Stay there. Let's come back and talk
bad,
about.
You're willing to look at them.
We'll be right back. Okay, Damon Vickers is our guest. I'm Alex Jones, and he was getting into some points about what he thinks my mindset is or my focus when we had to go to break. Finish up, Damon, and then I've got a bunch of questions for you and a whole bunch of Twitter questions that have come in as well. Go ahead.
No, my comment about you, which I'm no one to make comments about you. I mean, but it seems that you are someone who looks at things very soberly, and you accept the good news, the bad news, the freckles, the warts, or whatever. But you don't delude yourself, which is uncommon and good to see. And I'm glad you're on the radio.
Well, we've got you here, and we appreciate your valuable time away from your family to really discuss where this is going, because I see all these big central bankers saying we're in danger of another collapse, a bigger collapse. Currencies worldwide are going down overall, and the joblessness is increasing. I mean, we keep talking about that, but how do you see this unfolding? I mean, what preparations are you making in all of your billions in portfolios out there to protect your investors?
Well, one thing we've been doing is been lightening up. In recent weeks, we've been lightening up and lessening our commitments to the market. If we roll over and we start headed down, we're going to start shorting the market, and we'll start shorting. We've got a number of issues that look like they're setting up. I'll be watching how they close today on the close on a Friday. If they close weak on some of them, I may go out on the day short a number of issues. However, the trend may still be up, so I'm not gonna try to have too much of a bias one way or the other. I mean, yes, I do believe that the job creation is critical to our economic future and health and viability of the stock market and the economy, and I understand the relationship between job growth and innovation and
But most of the new jobs are government. Most of the new jobs are government.
A lot of the new jobs, that's right. Job growth, consistently there has been job growth in the government, and that is the growing tumor that we see overtaking the whole economy of bureaucracy and control and all of those things. So if we do start rolling down, we will go short. And yes, in 2008, a year that was pretty apocalyptic, we had a fund that went up 63%. Our hedge funds did pretty good. That was nice. And in the last bear market in 2000 to 2003, we also made a lot of money from those declines. I don't really have this love for bull markets versus bear markets. I really want what the market wants. And actually, in bear markets, we make more money than bull markets because the markets fall faster than they rise because of fear. What it will inevitably mean is that we're the holder of all these assets. We'll have to see. The gold, people have been looking for a safe haven in gold. It's been an area that we've been involved in. I think you really have to watch that roughly $1,000 level for gold. I think it's very probable that we are going to hit it. And it doesn't matter whether we hit it. The question is whether or not we really break through it and broach through it. But it's not uncommon when you break out, which is what gold did when it broke through 1,000 and ran up to 1,225 an ounce, I think, intraday, to come back and test or tap on the other side. It happens almost all the time. So I think really probably for those investors that don't own gold already, that as we pull back on top of this $1,000, that may be an area that you may want to seek to get involved if you haven't already gotten involved.
Okay.
And that would be a place where you'd kind of monitor your position. But ultimately, if the you-know-what hits the fan, you probably wouldn't be a bad idea to own some gold. But you need to do it well and to own it well. And also be prepared to let it go, too. If you're proven wrong, you're going to have to pull the plug. You don't want to be owning it as it breaks through 1,000, 900, 800, 700, and you're losing money, but you still have your belief, but you're losing money. So you've got to be. I would say to take a shot at it, but also be willing to take it off.
All right, shifting gears in a big way. I wouldn't call you a globalist, a New World Order person, but you do run in those circles. You are one of the people who will be honest on the air and admit it's a world government, a new world order. But I see their swine flu hoax imploding as a hoax, admittedly a hoax now. The EU admits it's a hoax. We had the head of that commission on just a few days ago, Wolfgang Wodarg. We have their carbon tax hoax literally imploding on every front. New scandals dwarfing climate gate on a daily basis. We have the big central banks in trouble, caught giving themselves the bailout money. That's falling apart. We have the globalization and big government being ridiculed at every level. So what do you see the elite doing? Because you're right to say we're already in a banking dictatorship. Our Congress has admitted, many congressmen and women, that the big banks run the country. But as the real power structure is identified more and more, just historically and trending forward into the future, what if you were, one of the Rothschilds or the Rockefellers or one of these big controllers, what would you be doing, or what are you hearing they're planning to do?
I don't know. I mean, I don't hear plans. You mentioned about the swine flu, and yeah, I mean that's late. Last I heard was that they wanted to do injections for a second time. I don't know. My sense is that the population is the global population issue is a real problem, and my sense is that we probably need some limits on that. So that may be an area that there's some involvement in.
There you go. See, I was going to do a friendly economic interview because you can bring us a lot to the table, and you know, I don't think you're a bad guy. I mean, you you really you bring up the big hot button issue yourself. You're saying the globalists are involved in population reduction, if I take what you say correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, and that it is a problem for the economy. I mean, we've aborted 50 million of our workforce in the last 35 years in the U.S., so we've brought in 50 yeah. million foreigners. I mean,
we brought in the 50 million foreigners, Alex, because we were unwilling to do the work that they're so willing to do. We don't want to actually work. You see, the hard focusing and the willing to soberly look at issues and see things squarely as they are, that's the work that you do. That's the work that I do. But for most Americans, they're too busy taking Paxil, Depakote, Viagra, Advil, and smoking pot all day and medicating themselves with debt to look at what the real issues are.
And they only care about the Super Bowl.
So they go down to Home Depot and they get some Mexicans, or they have Italian restaurants with Mexicans, because the Americans are too good to do any work. We're too good for that. We're too good to work hard, apparently.
Well, there is something to what you say, but I see a lot of really hardworking Americans who aren't the lazy Americans who are caught in the middle.
You're pandering to your audience, Alex.
No, I mean, I know a lot of people working 2-3 jobs.
They're working 2-3 jobs because they've put together a lifestyle that's unsupportable with mortgage payments that are too high. And now they're trying to support something that's unsupportable. The United States system, as it is unsupportable. And there is not enough debt in the world to keep this beast rolling. As for the population issue, yes, global population probably does need some regulation. The truth is, we should be regulating it ourselves. It is not right for people, for men, to quote unquote procreate and produce 15 to 28 children like they do in Haiti.
Yeah, but the average birth's about 4 children in the world. But Damon,
population issues. We've got agriculture issues. We've got health issues. Somebody in some central has to exert some degree of control for a world that is basically in chaos and on the verge of collapse because of our delusion.
Well, see, Damon, here we are, because we've had two rambunctious interviews with each other. You know, the first interview, I wasn't too hard on you. We just basically argued with each other the last interview. And I've got you here because I really want to understand the establishment view. And I think it's safe to say you're a member of the establishment. I mean, how much money has your fund managed over the years?
Yeah, that's private information.
But it's a lot.
It's probably a couple of dollars.
Yeah. The point is that you do run in these circles, and every time I am around someone of your caliber, it is the same thing, whether it's at a cocktail party or at the state house or anywhere. It's the same story. They come over and they say, Alex, there are too many people, whether you like it or not. They're a bunch of lazy slobs. There's a disdain for the public.
No, I don't have a disdain for the public. I have a disdain for the mindset of most people. We need a rebirth, a renewal, an evolution. Really, forget about a renewal. We need to evolve.
Okay.
Mentally, the whole world needs to like click into gear and begin to perceive things differently than they currently do.
All right. Well, let me say this, and then get your take. Look, I have disdain for people who are in debt and who their kids are on drugs and can't read and write. And that's a lot of yuppies, not just poor people, who worship the Super Bowl and buy lottery tickets. And but I know a lot of
that's
good
tough
people.
To do, Alex, you just okay. You have this, okay. Good. Good. That's brave going after the sports folk. Good for you. Okay, I'll go with that. Disdain. I think we should have compassion for them because they're enslaved.
But I mean, let me finish the statement. But just because people are like children, the media, the culture has been geared for that, and I see the CPS, I see the government, I see the secret Homeland Security reports, where their main enemy is the hardworking rural and local business person and the producers. And so I do see red-blooded middle America who are keeping this country afloat, being fed on by the elites and by the slob general public. Now, that's a different view, I think, than your overall view, though, because when I said there are a lot of really hardworking good people out there, you just said, oh, come on, you're pandering. I mean, what are you getting at?
Because when you start talking about America, I do a lot of interviews. And when I start talking like that, then what the host will usually do is start defending his audience, which is the general public, and do that one. Look, you do have people out there that are producers. You do have people that are hardworking. Okay, I mean, I'm on vacation right now, but I'm doing this interview. I mean, I'm looking at the ocean. I could be out on the beach right now, but I'm still working. I'm still working with you.
Sure.
Okay. So there are people out there. Not that it's me, but there are people out there that are hardworking. Here's the problem. The problem is that there's fewer and fewer of them, and that you've got less and less, quote, producers. You're a producer. I'm a producer. There are people that do run good businesses out there and do run good qualities. Look at Apple Computer. I think they're doing a great job, innovative, good technology, beating the pants off of Microsoft. I mean, Microsoft is sub-basement compared to some of the stuff that Apple's doing. I mean, obviously. But there's fewer and fewer of them. And at the same time, government is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the government is exerting more and more the control and wanting to take more and more from the producers to a point that you're almost disincentivized to do any production whatsoever.
Exactly. And when I look at the ultra elites and their policy reports and what they're doing, they're taking our normal bad traits and force feeding them like a cancer. They want us slovenly. They want us dependent. They want us weak. And so that's my issue. I mean, you're somebody with kind of an elitist or what you call a reality-based perspective.
No, I don't know. I kind of reject that, Alex. I mean, I don't really get that. I mean, if you're talking about any of these people, I think there's the desire, I think, to positively influence global change. And when we saw pictures in recent weeks of Haiti, our initial response on the Haiti issue is, you know, oh, my God, look at the poor, suffering Haiti people. Haiti has been suffering for decades. Their population has grown 50% in the last decade. They're pushing 10 million. They eat mud pies on the street. Soon they'll be pushing 15 million and 20 million. And if we push it far enough out, and the Haitians are going to be eating each other. And so it's not just Haiti. Haiti could potentially be a lot of what the world looks like. The United States does not feed itself. We're net importers of food, like Haiti. The United States does not fuel itself. We are net importers of fuel.
Well, Argentina is a good parallel to the U.S.
Okay. Well, we need to be self-supporting and self-sustaining and have structures of.
But that's the issue. When you read what the globalists say, they point out a lot of things you're pointing out, but then all their policies are to make us more dependent.
Well, I don't know. I don't know where I see that. I think most people probably would like to be dependent. Most people are followers. They're not leaders. Any way you shape it out, 80% of the people are going to do next to nothing. 20% of the people are going to do most of the production in any economy. And most people don't think for themselves, and most people just generally are too lazy to think for themselves.
Well, bottom line, where do you see the world in 10 years? I mean, it doesn't look good any way you slice it.
Well, the debt issue is a real problem. The lack of productivity is a real problem. Our focus is a real problem. You know, we need to put money in. We need to overhaul the educational system. I mean, radically, like right away. This is something Obama needs to be doing. We need to slow down, reverse the growth of government, not only in the United States, but also in the Western nations.
Well, that's not happening. Instead, they're going the opposite direction.
So
where are we going then with these guys piloting things?
You're saying they're piloting things. I think it's also the general population, really. We're going to need probably some type of a collapse, I would say, to bring about global change. Because people don't really, we need an evolution of people's minds. We need people's minds to evolve and to change what their priorities are.
And so the right crisis will bring in the New World Order, Damon?
Yes, I would say in all likelihood a crisis probably would bring in a new world order. I would hope that that new world order is a change for the good, because clearly what we have in place right now is not working. None of it is working. The systems are not working globally. So you may need the disintegration of the present system before you build a new one.
But this was a new world order. Globalization has accelerated all the problems.
Well, you don't go back. Globalization is not going to go back. Maybe inevitably the place that we get to is that we really are one world, that nations do become more like states, and we do have what we dissolve is the need to war with one another.
Why are the globalists overrunning Europe and North America with the third world populations? I mean, they could clearly control that, but they're not. They want to overrun, because then those populations will vote to rob and fully enslave the final producers.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, why is the third world running towards the Western world? They do it because of jobs. You know, Mexico comes to the United States so that they can export money back to Mexico and to Colombia and whatever else. The people migrate from the Chinese hinterland to Shanghai so that they can send money back to their agrarian.
But if the third world's so absolutely horrible,
I don't believe that's orchestrated by any conspiring world power.
Hell, the illegal aliens are above the law where I live. They don't even have to have driver's license. They can drunk drive. I mean, the system gives them a red carpet. Website, nancypaulmary.us, our sites, infowars.com and prisonplanet.tv. Thank you for joining us today. Be sure and check out the online video bookstore at infowars.com if you want to get more informed on what's going on. Well, I mean, there's no doubt the currencies are going down worldwide. There's no doubt that we're going into a worldwide sustained depression. There is no doubt that government is just pressing the accelerator of growth. And so, again, I go back.
Of their growth.
So where is it going? I mean, what will a dollar collapse look like? Or how do you see this whole currency situation shaking out?
Yeah, well, it's not happening right now. I mean, because what you're seeing is, Portugal, we've had problems with Portugal. I think the last I heard was to insure $10 million of their debt, because they tried to sell some debt this last week. The price to insure that $10 million was $219,000 just to insure the debt. That's pretty rich. So what's happening is because Western Europe, Portugal, Greece, Spain, UK, because these places are really coming unglued first, you're seeing a flight to quality, if the U.S. dollar is such a thing. But you got to imagine a ship is sinking, right? And the rats will climb to higher decks on the ship, and so it is with markets. So we have the currency thing is, in fact, unfolding on a global basis, but we're getting this temporary lift in dollars because global investors and global, holders of currencies don't know where quite to put their money. So we've seen this lift in the U.S. dollar. When does the ship go down? I'm not sure when it happens. I can tell you that when it does happen, though, it'll happen pretty quick. It'll happen like an overnight.
What is the crow's nest that will have hundreds of rats piled on it as it goes down into the North Atlantic?
What a great imagery, Alex. The crow's nest. What are you talking about? What do you mean, crow's nest?
That's the area up on the main mast where the lookout, and it's the last part of the ship to go under. So you've got rats. Famous historians wrote about ships going under and rats going up and perching on the top of the mast as it goes under.
It's probably hard assets, inevitably.
Gold, real estate, things like
now,
that.
Real estate's inflated. It wouldn't be real estate because real estate is inflated by all the excess dollars.
But at least it's something that's got something real is what I meant.
No, but it never, unless it's farmland or something like that, and really there won't be much demand for that. No, real estate is going to be going down for years.
So what is it, gold? I mean, gold, period. What else? What else is hard?
You know, I guess just commodities, but even if it really, really got bad, you'd have to temper the rise in gold with the fact that some holders would be selling gold because they would have nothing else to sell, right? If your currency is worth nothing.
So you have a depression in the real economy, so it doesn't matter if you're the crow's nest because you're still going under.
Yeah, they're in an all-out total global collapse, the deflationary collapse. There likely would be few places to hide. We've for years and decades they've said that what you needed to be was be in stocks because stocks kept with inflation. We've had the currency go down 97% over the last 30-40 years, and yet the stock market has gone up. So it's kind of a delusion, really, that people are facing. Look, whatever the trends are, we're going to follow them. Whether the trend for the market is up or the trend for the markets are down, we're going to seek to capitalize on them. If the markets continue to roll over, we will increasingly get short, like we did in 2008.
But for the general public, you see even more storms ahead.
I think the underlying trends are pretty strong. I think you got to really be alert and keep listening.
Hold on.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We've been getting a very interesting perspective in the last 45 minutes from Damon Vickers, Nine Points Capital Partners Director. The website is www.npm.us. Our site's Infowars.com. Bob Chapman on a host of issues of the InternationalForecaster.com coming up in the next segment. Again, I'm Alex Jones. Damon, you're gracious enough to stay with us a few more minutes so you can finish your thought there. You were talking about other currencies going down, and that's what Dr. Paul Craig Roberts 3 months ago predicted. Bob Chapman, many others we've had on are saying the same thing that you've been talking about, that as other currencies go down, because they're even in more debt with big government than we are, that rats are going up to higher levels of the ship, and they're now on the deck, which is the United States, and so that's buoying the dollar for a time, but the government's only pressing the accelerator for more government, more spending, more bailouts. So, again, how do you see the ship going under? Because they're clearly not going to right the ship.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't. If we're assuming that government is going to have this like epiphany of understanding what it is that actually creates jobs and innovation and all that, that's not going to come from government. I'd like to see better tax policies in place. That might really help us. But really, we need to encourage innovation and technological leadership, and I mean really push for it. That's our only way out. We have to export things. And I want to go back to the currencies. What happens in markets, in any markets, and for anybody who remembers, you know, the decline in 2008 or the decline that we had in 2003, that what happens is that fewer and fewer stocks are going up. And what happens is that people pile into, quote, the quality issues. And so what you get is you get this very narrow support in the market. Well, most issues are going down. A couple are kind of maintaining their ground.
And then that makes more bubbles.
No. It has nothing to do with bubbles. Inevitably, in an all-out decline, everything goes down.
Got it.
So the delusion that investors have right now of selling their Greek currency and the pounds and the euros and going into dollars is really short-sighted. Inevitably, they'll be selling dollars, too, and the dollar will go down as well.
Well, I was thinking mainly of commodities being bubbles, because if they're the best thing out there, then finally when people have to dump them because that's the only value there is to pay for things, I mean, that does pop a bubble.
Well, the commodities is an interesting one because the global commodities, like all asset prices, have been driven up because of the excess supply of currency that's in the planet. The printing of currencies. See, it's it's not just us that has had this all-out abandon of love for the printing press. It's all of these countries that we're talking about. It's the Greeks, the Portugals. I mean, what do you think the export is of Greece? What is it? Was it olive oil? What is it? What are they exporting?
I was about to say olives. And,
it's like, right, olives. We don't, like, you know, it's the, you know, what are they, you know, Spain. What
so
is
we
they?
Have this G20 coordinated printing press, like an arms race, but of money. And so we got 1 minute left. What does it lead to?
I think when it all inevitably people lose faith in currencies in their entirety, and you get some type of probably new monetary form of exchange. Yes, because it's electronic, because we're in the digital age, it's electronic, and it's more something like that.
A global government.
A global government, a new global system of debits and credits that are all managed electronically on a global basis.
But they plan that to be carbon-based, but that's failing.
Well, we'll see if they're able to bring that one back to life. All the best, Alex. Great being with you.
Damon, thank you for being with us. Take care. All right, Bob Chapman straight ahead, ladies and gentlemen, giving you Damon Vickers' perspective. Kind of a globalist perspective, but we need to hear from all the different views out there. Bob Chapman straight ahead. We'll see what he has to say about what's going on with the plunging stock market, dollar rising, gold going down some, massive debt increases.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Well, we're already halfway into this radio broadcast. Got an hour and 52 minutes left in transmission. For the next hour, we're going to have Bob Chapman on with us in all news blitz and have open phones in the last hour of this live Friday, the 5th day of February 2010 edition. You know, we have an online video bookstore where my 24 award-winning films are on DVD. We have all the Patriot t-shirts so that you can spread the word when you're out on the streets and meet like-minded people, and your purchase of the books, videos, and t-shirts and ball caps also funds this operation. Now, this is free market resistance to the New World Order. Our sponsors also make it possible, so thank you for supporting them. But, you know, I was involved as a consultant and also appeared in Jesse Ventura's hit TV show, and they're looking at a second season right now. We should have news very soon for you on that on True TV. And the media is saying, wow, record ratings on True TV for this. People really want to know about conspiracies. No, they don't trust the media anymore, and they want government crimes investigated. Well, Jesse Ventura has written a new book. I think it's his best book. I've read Don't Start a Revolution Without Me, Ain't Got Time to Bleed, and others. And, you know, I helped wake up Ventura. So did his son, Tyrell. And there's a lot of me in this book. I mean, a lot of information that we've helped Ventura look into. You notice the name is American Conspiracies. And the original pilot TV show, Four Court TV, now True TV, was with myself, of course, and was called American Conspiracy. And it covers it all. Read more about what the book covers at Infowars.com on the shopping cart page. Now, it doesn't ship out until early March. We're talking a month away. But the books are actually being shipped to me next week. We're going to have them pretty much for anybody else. The book is $24.95 in bookstores when it hits store shelves. That's the retail price. We're selling it for $19.95. Jesse Ventura's new book, American Conspiracies, Lies, Lies, and More Lies Your Government Told You. And this is certainly a book that everybody needs to get, and you can get free when you order it. And be the first to get it. You can get free Reflections and Warnings with Aaron Russo, that final interview I did with him. It's a documentary. Very powerful. It's free. You can get Loose Change Final Cut, an excellent 9/11 documentary to wake folks up. Free when you order it with American Conspiracies. You can, of course, also get half price Fall of the Republic. And we have a deal up there on the site where you can get a t-shirt for $5.95 when you get it with American Conspiracy. So you basically get a free t-shirt because the regular price of the book is $24.95. Again, Infowars.com or call toll free to pre-order the book. Ships in early March. The official date's the 8th. But the point is, ladies and gentlemen, get the book today. Infowars.com or call toll free 888-253-3139. 3139, American Conspiracies, with former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura, and it is a powerful book. You might have them add on the shopping cart, tell Tim the full title, American Conspiracies, Lies, Lies, and More Lies from Your Government. Get him to add that, because it just went up today for folks that are interested. Thank you so much. Okay, I want to get into the economy first, because for 2 years, they've been telling us that the economy is getting better. They were telling us that really 4 years ago. And so I want Bob Chapman, who's really the leading expert we have on of so many economists, brokers, researchers, trends forecasters. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, 3 months ago, 2.5 months ago, said that when the carry trade reversed to the U.S., that other currencies were imploding so bad that for a while the dollar would go back up and gold would probably go down, but then race up later. And we saw it go down, race back up, now go down somewhat. But as Damon Vickers said earlier, all that's left at the end of the day is gold and silver. And he doesn't sell gold and silver. He's telling you that, though, because that's all that has any real value. And so you have a depression in the real economy while the banks fill themselves and their fat bellies full of trillions of dollars. You have government worldwide ballooning in size because it's the mechanism for taking the public's wealth and giving it to the elite and giving some chicken feed to the unwashed masses to control them. And so much is going on. Stock market plunging while the dollar goes up. You've got Pennsylvania and other states, California, saying they're going into bankruptcy. You've got states and cities passing taxes on food, baby food, milk. I mean, talk about draconian. They're going to squeeze and squeeze. Is there a method to this madness, and where is it all going? Bob Chapman of the InternationalForecaster.com, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, and it's very nice to be back. And I only wish that we had yourself and Jesse and others like you in the early 1960s. It wouldn't have been such a hard 50 years. But with that said, we've crossed a great river here, and that is we're really delivering the message, and we're really getting out there, and we're really driving the Illuminati crazy. And they're on the run, as we've discussed before. As far as the economy is concerned, sources told me this morning that they expect that the administration is going to look for $150 billion as another stimulus program, nothing like the almost $800 billion that they had before. But you got to remember, they're going to, out of the budget, double the amount of money that is spent on education. They're going to, in some way, create jobs by using credits and tax things.
And just to interrupt, Bob, you said in October of 2008 there would be a second stimulus in 2010 when they were swearing there wouldn't be. How did you know that?
I knew that because they really should have not done $800 billion. They really needed about $1.5 trillion. And as it's happened, they didn't have enough, and they need more. And what they did get obliquely was a hand through the quantitative easing program, the $23.7 trillion. But even that hasn't been enough. And so they're going to spend $100 billion, quote, creating jobs. Of course, it'll be short-term and won't work. And they're going to give states loans of $25 billion to keep them from going bankrupt. And so if you add it all up, it comes close to $500 billion, and that's what I figured they might be able to get away with, and that's what they've gotten. That will carry them probably into the election, and that's it. And then everything will sputter and go down again. You saw the GDP figures, and it was 5.7% growth in the final quarter of last year. And of that, 60% or more was replacing inventory. So the real growth was 2.4% officially. And it was probably a little bit less than that. My guess was 1.5% to 2.5%. But I'm not going to argue. It was all created by infusion of capital of one kind of another.
And by the election, you mean the 2010 congressional election coming up. You see them trying to stall the collapse until then. You see things getting a lot worse next year.
Yes. And unless they come along with another Oh, I think the next time they'll need $1 trillion to $1.5 trillion. If they're going to do that, you know, the Fed talks about withdrawing money from the system. They can't do that. It'll collapse. They've taken money and credit, the old M3, down from 17.4% to approximately 3%. And, you know, the European Central Bank has brought theirs down from 12.8% to minus 0.08%.
Why is the Bank of England slowing printing?
For the same reason the others are, it's all coordinated. They're down to 3%, and they had a high of 14.5%. And what they're up to exactly, I can't figure out, because they're skating along the edge of deflationary depression by taking down M3 and M4. The Europeans call it M4, and so they cannot take any money out of the system unless they want it to collapse.
But put this in layman terms, because I study this constantly, and I'm with you, but barely. So a lot of the audience may not. In layman's terms, they give themselves $28 trillion conservatively in the U.S. alone, another $20 trillion globally. They're buying up all the real assets. They're not letting local banks loan. They clearly want to implode the economy so they can consolidate. While they're claiming they're trying to hire jobs, they're just massing the government against us, growing their muscle against their slaves. And if they and then now central banks are starting to cut money supply and are starting to cut the issuance of currency, which does forestall things. So it looks like they want things to implode or just stall it just long enough or what?
It's hard to tell because we won't know until we get out further. And that won't happen until later in the year. And you see the fiasco that's going on in the European countries, both in Eastern Europe as well as Greece. And now they're talking about Portugal and Spain and Ireland, which I've talked about for some time being problematic, and now they are. But, you know, people have to consider the dollar's no panacea because their debt, public debt to GDP, will be about 95% this year. Well, that's as bad as any country in the world. I mean, there's only a couple of countries that are higher. And so the United States has got the same problems that everybody else has, or vice versa. So you see this debt implosion problem that's going on in Europe, nothing new. They just discovered it. It happened.
And we know the G20 is coordinating this. Why?
The reason why they want to do that is that they want to act in unison so they can help one another when they need to do what they are going to do. See, I don't know, and I don't know anybody who does know outside the inner circle, when they're going to pull the plug and go to a deflationary depression. And they're eventually going to do that, but they want to do it in their own way at their own time.
And they probably want to coordinate a war as a political smokescreen when they pull the trigger.
Absolutely. And there's a good chance of that in the Middle East this year.
All right. Stay there. Yeah, it's all coming together. Let's break down the geopolitical landscape with Bob Chapman straight ahead. Eastern to 4 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back this Sunday with a surprise guest in the last hour, 4 to 6 p.m. with the abbreviated Sunday transmission. Bob Chapman is our guest. You know, Bob, we can sit here and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. They're moving more ships, more weapons in, new sanctions on Iran. It's a total replay of 1991, 2003 with Iraq. They're openly saying they're getting ready for the bombardment the next year. They're moving more forces in. They've set up their council of governors. So Obama can say, oh, I took over the states. But, you know, don't worry. I have these puppet governors. And the head of the Homeland Security board, sub-board of this, is the Governor Nixon, who put out the Mayak report for the feds, demonizing conservatives, gun owners, patriots, libertarians, returning veterans. And they're now openly talking about shutting down freedom on the web. It's happening in Europe, happening in Italy, happening in Australia. They clearly staged the underwear bombing. It's now come out. The FBI basically orchestrated all of that and protected the guy and let him get on the plane, the State Department. I mean, we know what they're doing, and we're in a race to get the public to not just care about the Super Bowl, but actually care about what the globalists are doing. I mean, looking at the method of their madness, they've orchestrated this whole plan, but now their plan, their cornerstone of the new carbon tax bubble is in deep trouble. So what does that do to them? Because they're still going ahead with the plan, though on every front, they're on fire. I mean, they're falling apart.
You're right. They are running into problems that they didn't expect. And I think that you talk about taxation, the carbon tax, that isn't going to happen anytime soon, although our president has said he's going to in-run the situation and run through the EPA, as you pointed out before. But I think the trial balloon for the comments, which are over next week, and the new, which the public hasn't even heard about yet, the new guaranteed annuity that the administration and the people who control it have planned. We don't know what form it's going to come in, but it's going to be a tax raiser, and it's going to be in some way something that the government can either use as collateral or get fresh funds in to fund their debt. They have a heck of a time funding it. Last year, the Fed, just in the treasuries alone, purchased 80% of them. And they're not going to tell you that, but if you back into it, you can see that. A few writers have come out with it, but most of them, they don't know, they don't understand. So what this is, this plan for this annuity, it may come in any form. Right? We don't know yet what it is, but they're talking about a 5% tax, like the Social Security tax, and that money would be earmarked for an account for you as an annuity for the future. And then they also talked about a voluntary plan whereby somebody could pledge a certain percentage of their retirement, whether it's pension or 401k or IRA, et cetera, into this government annuity or the whole thing, or they could have a mandatory program. I'm putting all this out because, number one, eventually they're going to try to steal your retirement, and number two, they're desperate for funds, and you ask where they're going to get the taxes from or get the money from tax-wise, and this, I think, is how they think they're going to do it.
Bob, incredible. I mean, that's why we have you on so often, because sometimes I can't see the forest for the trees. I'm sitting here saying if their environmental takeover is in trouble, what are they going to do to fund their operation? And in plain view, you've been saying for 5 years, and I have as well, when Bush changed the rules to take pensions, and now they've changed the rules to take money markets, and now they're saying they're going to take your pension and put it in a government fund and tax it, that clearly they're now moving to do that. And it's just so outrageous that even though I know they're already starting to do it, I can't believe they're that bold. I mean, if they're asking for a revolution, isn't that the quickest way to get it, is to steal people's retirement?
You got it. You're absolutely correct. And desperate people do desperate things. And again, we have forced them into this position. And that's why they're pushing ahead on all fronts, such as the things with Homeland Security, federalization of law enforcement, and all the other things that you talk about on the program.
All right, stay there, Bob. They're running scared. I want you to come back and flesh out, because, I mean, this is mainstream now that they're taking the pension funds. Private companies are. The government's getting ready to snatch it. The health care plan's in trouble. That was a new big tax. Stay there. Bob Chapman's our guest. I'm going to open the phones up specifically for questions for Bob Chapman. 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. Bob, you got cut off by that break. I mean, when we get up here, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 2 years ago, last month, and read the mainstream articles where the government comes out and says, oh, we'll take your private pension plans and the government will keep them and tax them but pay them out to you. And, oh, your money markets aren't protected, you know, 3% or something, returns people get. I mean, I've got a bank account that's a money market. That's not protected. I mean, that's destroying confidence. And then their health care plan is a massive tax increase on basically everybody except some of the poorest Americans. And then it's a tax on them because more companies will just lay people off to be able to pay for the health care. And so they're failing on that plan because it's so unconstitutional and transparently corrupt. That's what I'm saying. The carbon taxes, they're in trouble. The health care money grab, they're in trouble. So what are they going to do, Bob?
That's hard to say. I don't know. I just don't see anything on the horizon. But, you know, we'll hear it leaking out of Washington. They, you know, they have these think tanks going, and they've been going for years. And incidentally, that program of guaranteed annuities by the United States government, that's been in formation since 1995. This is really nothing new. It's just getting here now, or they pulled it up when they thought they needed it desperately, if you may. And if they impose a 5% tax for savings, then that probably will help them quite a bit. But I don't think the public...
State electronic straitjacket over the... Senate is creating a police state electronic straitjacket over the... is creating a police state electronic straitjacket over the states. We're not just saying that. We have the John Warner Defense Authorization Act, reauthorized since 2007. We have PDD 51. We have the Council of Governors, which is so the president can claim he's in control of the states, and, well, the Council of Governors agrees, his 10 handpicked minions. You could have 49 states telling one state they had to do something unconstitutional. It doesn't stand. You have NORTHCOM admittedly set up for the American people. You have them trying to put military on the streets everywhere. You have them with the naked body scanners. They're clearly trying to get this grid in place to suppress peaceful revolution against them, but they're not giving people anywhere to go. They're not giving people any out. I mean, this is going to be very explosive. This is not Argentina where they're disarmed, or Nigeria where they're disarmed, or Romania or something. I mean, this is a recipe for disaster, and the establishment is so hubris filled, they're still moving forward, or maybe they're not hubris filled. Maybe that's why Cass Sunstein and other White House czars write that, quote, the conspiracy theorists are a danger and are hurting them, Bob Chapman.
Well, that's right, and I think you hit it on the head, and I'm doing a piece right now that I'll finish over the weekend for next Wednesday's issue, and it's control of the Internet. And, of course, if they go for that through the UN or whatever way they do that, then what will happen is they'll pursue us on radio as well. And they got to shut us up. And so there's going to be moves in that direction. But you know something? I think they're a little bit too late. I think they waited too long, or they get rushed into the situation by yourself and others.
Well, the train's already left the station. Exactly. We've already told the people, the DVDs, the books, the newsletters are out there, and the more they try to censor us, the more people want to find out what's going on.
That's right. You know, it's just like when you try to hide something, there's a reason for it. You probably did something wrong. And the Federal Reserve is a wonderful example. It's a state secret, or you don't have a need to know, and it's a private corporation. I mean, that's ridiculous. And so why is the Federal Reserve doing that? Why are they battling so hard to keep 1207, which is in that appropriations bill, from getting passed? Because they don't want everybody to know what they're doing. Well, the same is true not only with the Fed, but right through our government and Wall Street. I mean, you saw the hearings. This Lloyd Blankfein gets up and says, well, we're doing God's work, and we made a few mistakes. Yeah, as they collected hundreds of billions of dollars from the American investor or the American citizen. And they justify that, well, if you don't let us do it, we'll crash the system. And that's really what they're saying. And I work with these people for 28 years. I know where they're coming from.
And this is terrorism. This is illegal financial terrorism that they have been engaging in, and they have wrecked hundreds of third world countries and first world nations in the last 100 years. They will make us destitute and homeless if they are able to successfully pull this off. This is life and death for our economy, our society, our future progeny. This is for all the marbles. And that's why I get so disgusted by adults who are losing their jobs or getting their pay cut. Wealthy, poor people, it doesn't matter. They don't still, many of them seem to care. They only care about who's going to win the Super Bowl this Sunday.
And that's exactly right. And they've ruined many, many personal lives all over the world, particularly with these collateralized debt obligations, which are the bonds which have the mortgages inside of them. 60% of them were sold in Europe. So it's not only American institutions that bought them and lost piles of money, but it was Europeans as well and others. But, you know, this, to me, as a professional within that area, is grotesque. I mean, how could they ever think that they could get away with this? What they did is they got the raters, which is Moody's and Fitch and S&P, to say that this was AAA paper, the best you can buy, when in fact it was a triple B. And the in collusion with not only the raters, but also the Federal Reserve and the lenders themselves. And it was a whole group of people who were involved in this giant trillion, multi-trillion dollar scam. You're absolutely right, Alex.
And now it's come out in McClatchy newspapers and other places, documents they got from Goldman, that they premeditatedly rigged all this to destroy their competition and destroy the economy and come out on top with their insider knowledge. And now they're trying to bring us into the next phase. I want to go to calls here, Bob, but what is going to happen from your past experience and research as people find out the economy is actually getting worse and not better?
Well, they're going to get more disturbed. There'll be more layoffs. There'll be more people going bankrupt. It'll be harder to live the way that we've lived over the past, we'll say, 50 years is gone, probably gone forever. It's hard to say forever, but probably gone forever. And they are going to demonstrate, and eventually the demonstrations will, if they can't accomplish what they want through Congress, then there will probably be a revolution.
Let's go to phone calls, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk to John in Illinois. You're on the air with Bob Chapman.
Hello. I just want to say I appreciate your show, Mr. Jones. And a question I have for Mr. Chapman is, how do you feel that George Soros' statement about gold being in a bubble affected the market currently? And also, with all the manipulations that the banks do, do you think they can control the price of gold for much longer?
Now, let me add this before Bob answers. Last Friday here, I played the clip for Bob of Soros on Wednesday of last, bragging that they were about to try to pop the gold bubble. So was Soros involved? What are the central banks doing? We know it's been exposed. They do manipulate gold. Why are they trying to drive gold down right now?
Well, first of all, George Soros is an arch criminal. He's a multi-billionaire. He's a top illuminist. He was convicted of rigging the stock market in France. He appealed and lost. And he was convicted in Hungary as well in recent years. He's a front man for the illuminists. Whatever they want done, he does it. In Eastern Europe, they had these colored revolutions. He was behind the whole thing. And, of course, when these guys die, all the money goes back to the illuminists. That's the way it works.
And by the way, you're not just saying that. I want you to continue your point. It came out in the British news and Russian news that every time Putin arrests an oligarch, it turns out they own literally nothing and everything is Lord Rothschild's.
That's right. And Rothschild bankrolled the whole thing. And
so what are they doing to gold?
Pardon me?
Well, I mean, I interrupted you from the question, the caller's question.
So
what's going on with the rigging?
In what sector?
Well, I mean, Soros.
You mean with the gold?
Yes.
And so what he was a stalking horse in this charade, he kicked the downside off. And then the central banks would use derivatives through the major brokerage firms such as Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Chase, Citigroup, et cetera. And they shorted gold. They were already short big time, triple what is normal in the COMEX. And the LBMA, which is the London equivalent, is even worse. I mean, I think they're short 50 tons of gold, and they don't have any.
When does for those that don't understand shorting, when are the contracts or the main group of contracts up? Because now they've got to short it because they already betted in shorting or they lose their shirt.
That's right. And shorting is betting it's going to go down. And so they've been doing that. But ultimately, they have to cover, which means buy it back in again. And I don't know at what level they're going to do that. My guess is probably somewhere between 1,033 and perhaps 1,070. There's a number of reasons that I won't go into. To address, but he front ran this attack on gold. And it's a second attack in like 2 months. But the second part of the question was, can they continue to do it? And the answer is no. And the reason why is they don't have the physical bullion to sell into the market. And that's where they're stopped cold. And so when they use derivatives, futures, to go in and drive prices down, they only can do it for a short period of time, several days at the most, and that's it.
And to answer the question, why do they want to drive gold down? Am I right in saying because it will expose the weakness of the dollar?
It'll expose the weakness of the dollar and the whole system. Whenever gold goes up, it's like the canary in the coal mine. It's the tip-off that something is dramatically wrong in some society, and gold's going up because the society's on the brink economically, financially, whatever, and that is what's happening. And so they've been suppressing gold. They started in 1988. I wrote my first article for the Bull and Bear saying the market is being manipulated, and I explained how they were doing it, and everybody told me I was insane. Well, of course, they don't do that anymore because it is common knowledge now, especially on Wall Street.
All right,
all markets, but particularly the gold market, is being manipulated.
John, did that answer your questions?
I was just curious to, you know, I know it's impossible to tell, but, you know, because what about silver also? Did you expect a price, because they're short that market also?
Well, you're right, and there's two big players that are short about 60% of the contracts, J.P. Morgan, Chase, and HSBC, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank. And it's illegal. And the CFTC stands there and has allowed it to go on ever since Bear Stearns went under.
So what you're saying, they are going to drive, but you're expecting them to drop in silver?
No, it's already happened.
Yeah, but continuing or?
No. It'll base out here somewhere in the the $16 area, and gold should base out here as well.
And when will gold start running back
run
up?
Like mad.
When do you see gold running back up?
Oh, I think it can happen before June, maybe even before April.
Okay.
They don't have any lasting power. I mean, they've lost their bullion positions.
Because
they sold them off over the last 20 years.
They're swimming upstream against the market. Thank you, John. Michael in California, you're on the air with Bob Chapman.
Hey, thanks, you guys. It's so timely you're having this conversation, and now it's your illustration about the rats going up the mast of the crow's nest is just really kind of sets there. I wanted to know if either one of you are familiar with Thomas Horne's latest book, Apollyon Rising, the prophetic cipher hidden from the world by the U.S. government for over 200 years.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm
okay,
not.
I would recommend it. It's a great overview of why the seal is on the dollar bill and the forces that you guys are talking about that want to see their world order manifest.
Well, we carry three videos, America's Secret Beginnings, that chronicle that, so I am aware of it. Anything else, Michael?
Well, I'm just wondering also on the provisions front. I know Bob's talked really strongly about being out of the U.S. dollar as well as having food supplies. Both of you talk about that, a way to protect your family. And it's amazing how many people around me, as I try to have conversations with people, really shy away from it as if it's extreme.
Well, let me comment on that, Michael, because we're going into break. They have made it fashionable. They've been telling people for 100 years, don't talk about politics and religion. When talking about politics and religion is what created this country, and they tell you it's weird to be protected, it's weird to own guns, it's weird to be self-sufficient, it's weird to know how to fish, it's weird to know how to skin a deer. As a human being, I'm high tech, I'm modern, but I also am primitive. I keep those aspects about myself. I know a little bit about nature and how to be self-sufficient. I'm not a domesticated, complete jellyfish. And so what you've got is domesticated, soft-palmed jellyfish. Look at Katrina. Look at California collapsing and making the state workers work one day a week for free. Look at Haiti. The government can't and won't and will not take care of you. And in all these intensifying crises, the fact that people don't even have the basic instinct to want to prepare, like a grasshopper doesn't prepare for the winter, the ant does. A squirrel prepares for the winter. I've got the smarts of a squirrel. Your average football watcher doesn't. Bob Chapman.
I agree. And, you know, it's all there. All they have to do is start using it. And how can that come about? All they have to do is listen. And your program is one of those ways, or my publication for that matter. And you know, there's a lot of things that just have to be exposed to people and say, oh, yeah, I was wondering about that. And all of a sudden, it clicks in. I get so many emails and talk to so many people who said, I woke up 6 months ago or a year or 2 years ago. And I think that's terrific. And it's because of the internet and my publication and your program and other programs and so on. And we are getting there. The thing is, can we get there fast enough?
Folks, now is the time of maximum effort. Now is the time when the globalists are moving against us and the public is finally ready to be enlightened. We'll be back. Don't forget, folks, we are among the first to get Jesse Ventura's new book, American Conspiracies. It's available at Infowars.com, and when you get it at an already discounted price, American Conspiracies, Lies, Lies, and More Dirty Lies, the government tells us, you can get a free loose change final cut, excellent film on 9/11 to wake others up, or get a free Aaron Russo Reflections and Warnings documentary. And the book's already discounted by $5 from $24.95 to $19.95, and you get a free film. Or you can get a T-shirt for $5.95, which is basically our cost of your choice. Got a bunch of great Don't Tread on Me, Join or Die, Patriot shirts. They're available with the special, and it'll ship out. We're supposed to not ship it until March 8th. So I'll just tell you that, but we'll have it first and get it out to you. And Jesse Ventura is on just a few days after it comes out. But going back to Bob Chapman, I want to take calls for him in this segment and the next, then he's leaving us. I'm going to blitz through a bunch of news and continue with your phone calls. Right now, let's go to Michael in Texas. You're on the air with Bob Chapman. Go ahead. Oh, he just dropped. Man, okay, they do that right when you go to him. Jerry in Indiana, go ahead.
Hey, Alex and Bob Chapman, thanks for standing up for liberty and freedom. I got a question for Bob here. You know, I've talked to our congressmen and representatives because things are really bad here in Indiana, unemployment-wise, just like across the nation. I tell these people, you know, the definition of a third world is a country with no manufacturing base. How do they expect to bring jobs back with NAFTA and GATT in place? It's just ridiculous.
It's not going to happen unless we can change the complexion of Congress and pass tariffs on goods and services like we had since 1800, which helped make America a very strong nation.
And they lie to people.
Mercantilism.
Go ahead. Go ahead with mercantilism.
British mercantilism is what free trade, globalization, offshoring, and outsourcing is all about. It's carried on by transnational conglomerates that keep their profits offshore and don't pay taxes on them. And so that's why Congress doesn't want to pass that, because they're all paid off by them. And it's called campaign contributions. And so you got to change Congress, and then we got to put the axe in. And once we get that passed, everybody in the world's going to be mad at us, and it's just too bad. We got the biggest market in the world, and if you have tariffs on things, what's going to happen is the manufacturers who moved out are going to have no advantage of being where they are now, let's say in China, because the tariffs are going to make everything equal.
And let's expand on that. With environmental rules and regulations, we have a tariff on ourselves against our own goods. It's not free or fair to compete against Mexico or India.
And you can impound that into the tariff. You can say, you don't have any environmental controls, and so instead of charging you 50 cents per item, we're going to charge you 75 to make up for that. And then all that money goes in the Treasury.
And that's how we're supposed to fund the country, instead of the stinking income tax that goes to the private banks.
That's right. Absolutely.
And yeah, I mean, who knows better? The bankers that have raped and robbed us, or the founding fathers that made America great? Whose system do we want? A bunch of fancy bankers come in here and tell us what they're going to do for us and how great it's going to be, and it's wrecked us by design. This is by design. Any other comments, Jerry in Indiana?
Yes, you know, my dad taught me from a young, I'm 56 years old now, but he taught me at a young age, you back somebody in a corner, they're going to come out fighting. What does the New World Order think of 200 million armed civilians, Bob?
They are going to be terrified, and if they bring in foreign troops, I can promise you, our military will make sure that they don't return from whence they came.
We'll be back. Have gone by very quickly. We're in the fourth and final hour. I'll be back this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. I have a special guest joining us, surprise guest in studio. Want to stay with us for that? I'm going to have Bob Chapman stay another 20 minutes with us, because I just really always enjoy talking to Bob, and I know the callers want to talk to him as well. Toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9231. And let's go to Mike in New York. Mike, you're on the air worldwide.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me on. This is indeed a pleasure. It's first-time caller. I have sort of like two questions regarding the Federal Reserve for Bob. And what I want to know is, I heard that the Federal Reserve and a lot of the central banks do what's called double-booking gold, where they double up what they say they purport in halving. And then the other question that I want to ask you is with regards to if the audit should occur, and all this unraveling corruption is unveiled to the masses, what and how would that impact the gold, gold reserves and the price of gold?
First of all, it'll make gold go up. And secondly, we don't even know whether they have any gold. They haven't had an audit since 1954. And we see over the last couple of years in the general market where non-good delivery, gold has showed up, which is coin melt. And as far as I know, the only nation in modern history that's melted coins was the United States government. And so they have sold gold. We don't know how much. I know that there's gold in Fort Knox because one of the military people in one of the programs said, look, I was guarding it. There's something there. I don't know who it belongs to. I don't know what's inside the gold-looking bars, but we guarded them, and I was head of the detail.
Well, let me expand on this. Let me expand on this, though. For those who don't understand, they had a little bit of copper or other, you know, maybe 1% or less, into gold coins so that they're not soft, so the faces don't wear off, and so people can't easily grind them down. Pure gold melts very easily, deforms very easily. And so, yes, gold has shown up between central banks that's supposedly, you know, pure gold, like it's supposed to come in the bars, and it's not pure, showing chicaneries going on. Go ahead, Bob.
And so we don't know what the U.S. has. It would be nice if they had everything they say they have, but we know that's not so. And this goes back to the late 60s. Lyndon Johnson, we don't know what he did. And then they had the ROSA bonds, which were all redeemed, which were bonds were given out and backed by gold, and people took the gold instead of taking the cash. And but, you know, they never reported on it. All we can do is guess at what they did. They hide these things all the time.
And the question is, why do they get to be so secretive?
Well, because they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. And that brings us back to the first question, which about the Federal Reserve, a double counting or double ent, having double
sets of books.
Well, yeah, we could call it two sets of books. And the answer is yes, but we won't know until we get there. And when we get there, the people will be enraged. And I would think that the other bill that Ron Paul has, which would do away with the Fed, would be passed, and their responsibilities would be passed back to the U.S. Treasury, where they laid under the Constitution until the Act in 1913. And one of the important things, if that happens, is that we stop the revolving door between Wall Street banking and the U.S. government, because they really control the government.
I mean, it's a 101 conflict of interest. I appreciate your call, Mike. Good to hear from you. We're going to come back and talk to John, Mike, Kathy, Tom, and others. But I want to make a point when we return and get Bob's take on it. We've seen this Federal Reserve disinfo put out really through the Patriot community. As Cass Sunstein at the White House said, they've lost so much credibility, they have to pose as us to then get any credibility, and they've been putting out this parrot message over and over again that you better not audit the Fed because you'll get something worse. You can't get something worse. We're already under a financial dictatorship of these people. We'll be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Red Beckman talked about yesterday the fact that we've really been fully under the New World Order since the mid-80s. The U.S. has been seized and used as a weapon, an engine of tyranny worldwide, and we've been given tyranny here domestically as well. We're being treated like the third world nations that the private banks have fraudulently conquered. The Federal Reserve is just a holding company front for the top less than 10 banks. It was 10 back at the time of the Federal Reserve Act. It's been very secretive, but some of that information's come out. And they're partners with the Bank of England. They're partners with the Bundesbank. They coordinate through the G20. They don't even deny this anymore. And so you abolish the Federal Reserve. You put the power back under the Congress, which is in the Constitution. And you educate the public about the issuance of currency and credit. And you turn credit loose to be an engine for the population. You know, it came out over a decade ago, the comprehensive annual financial reports that they set up in the early 50s in Chicago, and by the 70s became the model of the country and the world. Australia has them, England has them, Germany has them, Canada has it. And so they use lawyer tricks to distract the public. They say, oh, well, on budget, we've got a budget shortfall, or on budget, we need more taxes. When the budget generally is less than about 15%, and that's just a dead reckoning guesstimation of the state of Texas, Travis County, where I live, similar around other parts of the country and the world. You know, some places the budget's 30% compared to the real assets of the comprehensive annual financial report. We have a DVD documentary I produced called Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports Exposed. And once we started exposing this in the late 90s with Walter Burian and others, and Bob and many others exposing it, these were public before, but in the age of the internet, they're now making most of it secret. But you can still see the summaries. And so what you have is the state of Texas or the University of Texas. These are just examples. Where last time I checked, University of Texas had $50-plus billion in assets separate from their oil and gas and land holdings? Because in Texas, the feds don't own much property. The state of Texas owns a bunch, and it goes to the university funds. But that's separate even from that. They take that money, and they put it in Clear Channel Radio, for an example. They put it in the Rangers baseball team. They put it in defense contractors. They put it in all sorts of programs. They invest it in carbon credit allotments. And so they're taking your money and then giving it to private interests. So people who say, oh, we better not get rid of the Federal Reserve, we'll get something worse. You can't get something worse. We have a dictatorship of the private banks controlling our economy and feeding our wealth into their systems. And then they have control of the insider trading and selectively enforce and allow them and their cronies to do this. So could, if we start auditing the Fed and get ready to abolish it, yeah, they're going to come back with some new thing that gives them the same power again, but they already have unlimited fraudulent power. So you can't get anything worse. You get into the Fed, as Bernanke's admitted, that would destroy the Fed because it's so corrupt, you will further discredit them and send them all to prison. So anybody that says, and I hear this mantra, don't audit the Fed, Ron Paul's bad, it is pure baloney. Bob Chapman.
I couldn't have said it better. You covered it all. You hit it right on the head, and that's the way it's been. And, you know, this goes all the way back to the 12th century that we know of. Most recorded history only goes back to the 7th century. But beyond there, it's smattering until you get into the Renaissance. And so this is nothing new. This has been done over and over and over again, and that's how I'm able to back into what these people will do next, because all you have to do is look at history and what they did before.
They're monopoly men. If they can get control of the government and the issuance of currency and credit, as the Rothschilds constantly said and put on the doorways of their houses, that as long as we control the issuance of currency and credit, I don't care who the king is.
And they create money to finance the king's wars.
And they finance the king's enemies, so they've got to come to them.
That's right. Both sides of every conflict.
Saddam Hussein, CIA. Bin Laden, CIA. Fidel Castro, CIA. It's all staged. Pol Pot, CIA. Brzezinski brags about it.
And he's one of the main architects, along with Henry Kissinger. Fortunately, they're getting old.
Hey, let me ask you.
There'll be people there to take their place, that's for sure.
I want to go to Mike, Kathy, Tom, and Kevin quickly here, Bob. But who are the new super gophers? Because we really don't see a Richard Holbrooke or somebody like that, a Rahm Emanuel, replacing these super gophers of the elite. I mean, who do you see to replace David Rockefeller and people like that?
It's hard call right now. I just can't answer that. I don't know.
Me neither. Because it seems like those old-timers were a lot more hardworking. You talk to more modern globalists, and they really seem soft.
Well, they're certainly not aggressive, and we certainly don't know who's being groomed or which ones are being groomed, and it's generally kept from us. And most of the people we know who are involved now at the upper level or the semi-upper level, they're usually from 65 years old onward. Occasionally they'll be 55 or onward, but they're usually older men.
Let's talk to John in Florida and Mike and others. Go ahead, John.
Hi, thanks for having me. I got a couple questions. As far as if we have a revolution and what have you, and we totally destroy the tyrannical government we have in place, what happens to our money we have in savings? As far as does the dollar turn, do we go?
Well, that's how
they
hold us hostage. We've had a 98% devaluation since 1913, and it's just like a bad employee or, sometimes a mean husband that's beating you up. You just got to leave. I mean, it's going to be rough either way. Bob Chapman.
Well, if you've got money in the bank and in the general stock market and in bonds, you're going to lose a lot of money, maybe all of it. The only safe place to be is gold and silver.
All right. Go ahead.
With the Federal Reserve thing, I was speaking with a banker the other day, and they couldn't enlighten me on the facts, but I see with my savings account, we get a under a 0.25% interest for savings. In turn, the bank loans me somebody else's money, which is the way the money is that they give me in loans, at 3% to 18%. And how is it legal for them to do that with the Federal Reserve having the interest rate set at 0 to 0.25%?
Because that low rate is for the bankers, not for you, Bob Chapman.
That's right. And incidentally, you may not be borrowing your neighbor's deposit because the banks historically have created 8 to 10 times more credit than what they have in deposits.
That's right. You're
and
paying
recently,
interest.
And recently, during this last go-around, they got 40 to 50 to 60 to 70 times basic deposits, and they had to know that they were going to get in trouble.
Yeah, to explain that.
Stupid.
To explain that, they're charging people with credit cards in many cases 25, 30% interest on literally made up money. Okay, so they want you to default so that they get your real assets and get control of you. The name of the game is control. Thank you, John. Mike in Wyoming, you're on the air, Mike.
Yes, hi, Alex, Bob. Bob, are you keeping up with this UBS situation versus the IRS?
Yeah, the Swiss government.
Right.
And the Swiss government's come back unofficially and said, well, you know, UBS under the law in Switzerland can't do that. And another prominent person within the Swiss government says, well, if you do that and make them expose these people, well, the biggest bank in the country is going to go under.
Yeah, that was Times of London.
And thousands of people are going to be unemployed, et cetera. And he's right. And, you know, they let Switzerland do what they did for many, many years. People brought wealth to Switzerland to have it professionally managed, but also to avoid onerous taxation by different countries.
And by the way, they are selectively looting those offshore bank accounts. All the big boys do whatever they want offshore and don't get touched. They want to rob people that got a few million dollars or whatever.
And you're right about that. I lived in Switzerland. I know the mentality. In fact, I went to school at the Université de Genève. I took the interpreter's course for French. And so living in Switzerland for 3 years, speaking both French and German, you get a pretty good idea of where people are coming from. And you got to remember that during the war, they cooperated fully with Germany. And when Germany wanted to get things that they couldn't get otherwise, the Swiss would help them do it or manufacture it for them, and they would store much of the stolen things that were taken from people who were put into camps. And it was dreadful what they did, really dreadful.
Anything else, Mike?
Yeah, my question is there a safe haven these days if the Swiss are gone?
No, there's no. I don't think there's any safe havens left. I mean, you should have your money where you live.
That's why they call it
the bulk of your assets in gold and silver.
That's why they call it the New World Order. There's nowhere to run.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Bob, I'm going to twist your arm to do five more minutes. Is that cool?
Of course it is.
All right, well, if you got to go, I understand. We're going to go to break then, come right back to you, and try to get to Kathy, Tom, Kevin, and John, if we have time, as quickly as possible. And then I'm going to news blitz and cover some other key issues in the last 30 minutes of this radio broadcast today. But Bob Chapman of theinternationalforecaster.com is our guest. You can go check it out and get a free complimentary digital copy or hard copy there at theinternationalforecaster.com. He'll give you a number before he leaves. You can also call and get a complimentary copy. Don't forget our websites are Infowars.net, WhatIsTheEndgame.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, and PrisonPlanet.com. Stay with us.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time.
Kathy in New Orleans. Jones, you're on the air with Bob Chapman and Alex Jones. Go ahead. Welcome.
Hi, how are you, Bob and Alex? I wanted to share a little secret. We gave up our Saints season tickets this year in order to finance our radio show. That's how dedicated we were. We were able to share the whole truth with New Orleans about the Fed, cap and trade, Copenhagen. We were able to save countless number of people's of not taking the swine flu shot, and was worth every penny.
You know, it's funny you brought that up.
Thank you.
It's funny you brought that up, Kathy, because in the next segment, I was going to talk about boycotting the Super Bowl, and I'll explain why when we come back, but you just crystallized it. Swine flu shot killing people, full of mercury, economy falling apart, our country sliding into depression, and it's not that the Super Bowl is bad. It's that we better make some sacrifices and get our heads screwed on straight for real issues, or we're going to lose it all and be like Argentina or Nigeria. Bob Chapman.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and this is a way to do it. And it's about time people turned away from the frivolities of the social life of America, in fact, worldwide. You got to get serious about what's going on. It's very, very bad, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
You've got to change
your grips.
You've got to change your priorities. How much were you able to sell season tickets for?
No, we didn't even sell them. We gave them up because we had, this was our goal to get this radio talk show. We didn't have sponsors at Gary King with Patriot Radio, and we didn't have a sponsor at the time, and we had a chance to get a radio spot. So we didn't even sell it. We gave them up, not even, you know, thinking of that. Now, you know, hindsight, we wish that we would have sold them, but we were so dedicated at the time, because if you remember last March, that's when we started hearing the information about the swine flu and what was going to happen. And we felt like we had to get on the ground floor so we could tell people, you know, not to take the shots.
You know, I recognize your voice. Didn't you and your partner come visit me at the office?
We did. On his birthday, you let us in. It was just so cool. You gave him a CD for his birthday, and you encouraged us. And, you know, in the beginning, it's not really easy to get a sponsor. Now we're with Ecola Blue, and we love them, and we have a great relationship, and we talk to Dr. Reem Alebo every week, and it's just great. But, you know, that first step out in faith, have to do it. You have to do it.
Well, I appreciate your call. Yeah, I've always encouraged my listeners to go buy Saturday or Sunday time to start with. And if you do it a few months, you normally get enough listeners to get a few sponsors to then finance yourself to wake up tens of thousands in your town or city. And if I remember correctly, they're on a pretty big station in New Orleans. You know, start a website, whatever. It's about everybody being leaders, and that's what I've always tried to facilitate. Or get an Access TV show, or start a local newspaper or newsletter. Again, it's about empowering everyone to take action, Bob.
Listens to Glenn Beck, and we are going to fight to get them to come on our side.
All right.
And this is worthy of
well Kathy, fight. That's great news. Well, let me jam in one quick more call for Bob Chapman. A quick question for Bob. Tom in Arizona, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me. Hey, with the $1.5 trillion deficit that we've got, and they're going to refinance $2 trillion of short-term treasuries coming due, how are they going to do this? Are they going to have a $300 billion auction? What's Bernanke going to do? How is he going to float?
They're going to monetize it. They're going to buy it themselves with SDRs. Right, Bob? Yeah, we lose Bob's line. He's not in the United States sometimes, but I can. We'll have him back on next week. Or if he calls back in, we'll say bye to him. But absolutely, Tom, I mean, they're going to have to monetize it. The Federal Reserve is going to buy it itself. That's kind of like the snake eating its tail, isn't it?
Right, but when they're putting out Treasury auctions at $1.3 billion, they're going to have to start doubling this stuff.
Let me get Bob to answer the question. Bob, your line dropped. Real fast, how is the Fed, when it offers trillions of dollars of, well, I mean, ask your question again, caller.
Well, we've got a $1.5 trillion deficit, and he's got to refinance another $2 trillion that are coming due in short-term treasuries. That's $3.5 trillion. They're going to have to auction off this coming year.
And who's going to buy it? They're going to monetize it, aren't they, Bob?
They will, yes. And that's why they're after the retirement plans.
All right. I want you to be able to finish this. We're going to do 2 minutes on the other side with Bob and plug how you get the international forecaster. Stay there, Bob, since your line dropped. I want you to be able to explain what this means to have monetization of debt. This is a big deal. This is what they just did in Venezuela. Okay, finishing up with Bob Chapman, jamming in a few more calls for him while he's with us. Bob, explain to people what it means when they start monetizing debt. I mean, I'm correct in saying that's what we've seen in Zimbabwe, and we just saw that in Venezuela. They've been monetizing debt the last 4 years, and they just devalued their currency last month by 50%. They're talking about another 50% cut next year. I mean, explain to people what that means.
What it means is that the Federal Reserve creates money out of thin air. And let's say it's $1 trillion. And that money goes somewhere. And the minute the money is used, like in purchasing treasury bills or purchasing agency securities, Fannie, Freddie, Ginny, and FHA, or by buying toxic waste, which are the bonds which contain mortgages, that money goes into the system. And the minute it gets used, it's monetization, and it's very inflationary. And that's what happened in Zimbabwe and Weimar Germany, recently in Venezuela, usually by governments that have mishandled their government in their finances. And so where does it lead? It leads to devaluation. And I think there is a chance in the next year and a half that there could be an official devaluation of the U.S. dollar in congruity with other nations. They'd have a meeting to do that, as they have in the past, and also a debt settlement among nations, probably on the order of about 30 cents on the dollar. And I think that's coming. And a lot of people say, no, but they're going to have to do it. They're not going to have any choice.
And we had the caller earlier saying, if we get rid of the Federal Reserve, it may devalue my money in the bank. They're the ones that are doing it.
And the Federal Reserve notes are not worth the paper they're written on. They're only confidence notes. And the minute the confidence is lost, and that's in the process of happening, not only here in America, but throughout Europe, as you've just seen. And so this kind of thing will lead internationally to a multilateral devaluation, perhaps, of all currencies, or revaluation. Some currencies will go up against others. But the key is, they're all going to go down against gold.
Because gold hasn't really gone up, it's just the currencies have gone down.
That's correct. And the currencies have gone down, the dollar we'll take as an example, officially since 1980 when gold was 850, it should be selling on an official basis vis-a-vis the inflation during that period of time about $2,400 an ounce, and is selling for $1,066. And so the central banks have been responsible for the suppression of gold for the last 22 years, officially and legally.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Bob, I'm going to let you punch out here unless you want to go ahead and just go all the way to the 50 and take a few more calls.
I'll go with you.
All right. Bob's not punching out. We always love having him. Let's go ahead and talk to Tom in Arizona. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, I was the guy that asked the question about the auctions that are coming up.
So did that answer your question?
Yeah, I just want one thing to ask Bob is, by devaluating, like you just explained, that means they're not going to be able to go to an auction with $300 billion, because if they came out with an auction at $300 billion, that would be catastrophic.
Already been buying their own auctions. How many times did that happen last year, Bob?
80% of the Treasury auctions were bought indirectly and directly by the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, so see, sir, they're already doing this. But
And that's why they want your retirement.
Tom, I appreciate your call, but I mean, to try to explain this for people, yeah, because that's old money. And correct me if I'm wrong here looking at this, but that's why the Federal Reserve has ordered regional and local banks not to loan and to, in the real world, actually jack up interest rates. Like, interest rates are at zero, but there's many credit cards above 30 now. I mean, this is loan sharking. They are trying to control inflation by making themselves flush in money to buy big instruments, other banks, companies, military firms, infrastructure, but freezing and using a true depression in the real economy to try to mask that. So it's a bizarre alchemy they're engaged in, trying to protect their own structure at the expense of everything else. Is that accurate, Bob?
It certainly is. See, the idea of all of those programs like TARP and the rest of them was to make sure that the big banks, brokerage houses, insurance companies stayed in business. And they used the taxpayers' money to do that. That doesn't mean that those entities are solvent, because they're not, because they're carrying two sets of books. And so they're not out of the woods. And they hold, the top 10 banks in New York hold 70% of the deposits of individuals in the United States.
So they're holding us hostage. They think they can get away with it. Or, as Dr. Roberts and others have said, they were planning a fleecing, but this black hole is so big, it even endangers their system. And now the really scary thing is they're not in control. Bob, what do you say to that?
Well, I think they're running fast, and every time you run fast, you make mistakes. You're cutting corners, and you're backing off, and you're bobbing and weaving, and that leads to unsound thinking. And so all of these dumb things you see happening is because we're pushing them, and we got to keep on doing it.
What would our situation, from your studied view, be if for 45 years, almost 50, Bob, with yourself and Red Beckman and G. Edward Griffin and many others, and the newer batch of patriots that popped up 15 years ago because of Waco, like myself, and then now the even, I mean, it's exponential. You guys were about, you know, an inch deep because there was not very many of you. Then it got to be about a foot deep in the mid-90s. Now, on scales, I'd say we're about 1,000 foot deep in patriots. I mean, we are, and that's not an exaggeration, folks. It's just, it's the hottest thing out there. Even mainstream media says conspiracy's taking over. It's not conspiracy. It's education. It's not being idiot dumbbells who know all about sports but know nothing about how the world works. There is a rediscovery because it's so dangerous to not be informed now. Where would we be if you and others 50 years ago hadn't started fighting the New World Order, Bob?
Well, they would have been out of the way, and we would have had a totally different society, and people would have lived throughout the world much better than they are today, because the people at the top wouldn't be around stealing everything.
Well, but that's the reverse of my question. I'm sorry I wasn't clear. If you and others, well, you've been doing this 48 years, if you hadn't been there fighting them and publishing books that, I don't know, 5 million copies or whatever went out of that Gary Allen book you published. I mean,
if... I'd call it conspiracy.
Yes. If... How many copies of that?
Oh, there were millions of them.
That was in the 7. I think it was 5 million.
Yeah, we used to get them printed up for 5 cents a piece. It was pretty good.
Yeah. But I mean, if you hadn't been there with tens of thousands of other patriots, how bad would it be now?
Oh, it'd be dreadful, because the people who are learning and have learned, say, since the 1980s, wouldn't have been able to learn because we wouldn't have been there to help them.
And then I wouldn't be here.
Probably not.
I mean, there were congressmen and senators fighting the bankers 100 years ago and 200 years ago in the time of Andrew Jackson and 235 years ago in the time of George Washington. But from 1900, there was an early wave. Then it subsided. I'd say you were part of the second wave. Then there was a third wave. I'm part of the third wave. There's a fourth wave. My God, what's the fifth wave going to be, Bob?
It's going to be all the people that we helped to train about the truth and the knowledge that we need to live a life of freedom and a life to its fullest. And evidently, we've been kind of chosen to do this kind of a job, and we like doing it, so we do it. I mean, who else is 74 years old is running around like a madman like me, with the exception of G. Edward Griffin?
Or Red Beckman, 81.
Or Dr. Stan Monteith, he's 88. I'm 78.
None dare call a conspiracy. Gary Allen with Larry Abraham, an incredible book. This is the book when I was in high school that really, really woke me up. And then I knew the knowledge. So when I went to college, I understood the propaganda. But think about it. First wave, 1910, 1920 or so, into the 30s, very small. Second wave, 1950s, Bob Chapman and other icons of liberty. Really the blooming of that second wave in the 80s. The huge wave in the mid-90s when I really got active, but I was at the tail end of that new wave. And now this giant fourth wave. Notice, Bob, the waves are coming faster and faster and getting exponentially bigger. That's why the globalists are rushing, and in all their white papers, targeting us in many cases by name, we are literally grappling with the New World Order. We showing the people the power of the individual, Bob.
We sure are, and we're grappling not with the New World Order, with Satan himself.
You know, we ought to find out who's gotten under their call conspiracy and buy a bunch of them. This is an ancient copy right here.
I have about 10 copies.
Oh, man.
And I never had Gary sign them. I've gotten more books by people and read them and critiqued them and all of that, and I never have people bother to sign them for me.
You were involved in the financing of the original publication, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, the number I've got on this is 5 million in print.
Yeah, but there was more than that. I think they did one more printing after that. And then we had a warehouse full of them. And so we would sell them in batches. And, you know, a box would go out for postage and $5 just to spread them out. You know, we were pamphleteers. We couldn't get on the radio. I think the first one that was successful getting on the radio was Alan Stang. He was on a station in Glendale, California, and I used to go on with him once in a while. But that was in the early 80s. That was 20 years after we started.
And Stang died last year. Eustace Mullins died Tuesday. I tell you,
Eustace was a very good friend of mine as well. In fact, I put Renzi's obit into this issue for tomorrow, and I put a little piece in myself.
In fact, give me a document cam shot for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Radio listeners, can't see this. It says, you can buy books yourself at quantity price and distribute them as described in Chapter 8. One copy, $1. Three copies, $2. 10 copies, $5. You guys were selling them at cost because your heart was in the right place is why it had such effect. 25 copies, $10. 10 copies, 100 copies, $30. 10 cartons, $250. So all of this is going on. 1,000 copies for $250, selling these Operation Counterattack. Look at this. Now, I remember reading this book, and I believe this is even the copy I had back in the early 90s. Or I guess in the late 80s, and I remember reading this book and then years later making my first film in 97 and saying, it's free, basically like None Dare Call a Conspiracy, make copies of it. And again, that's why listeners need to understand, now is the time to be getting Obama Deception, Follow the Republic, and Endgame, and Truth Rising, and the other films and books we produced and sell. Now is the time to be making copies of my films, because we're into the fourth wave now, ladies and gentlemen. This is the ultimate time of awakening. I mean, you talk about clawing and scratching and battling down in the literal trenches like Bob and others did 30, 40, 50 years ago. Now the people are ready to hear us, and we're standing on the shoulders of people like Bob. I mean, Bob, how important is it to fight back now?
It's for your whole life and the lives of all of the people, your progeny that comes behind you. Because if you don't beat these people, your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, et cetera, are going to live on their knees. They're going to be enslaved. These people are evil, and you've got to stop them.
You know, that's the amazing thing, Bob. I know you've had a lot of threats. They've tried to set you up, even drove you out of the country for exposing them. And when I get persecuted, it just lets me know how real this is and how important it is. And then I don't even care about myself. It's not even my children. I realize how fast our generations come and go. I'm envisioning my children's great-grandchildren and that I want them to be free, and I'll do anything to stop them from being slaves. And people are caught up in American Idol, football, things that don't matter, folks, when our entire humanity, who we are, is literally being destroyed right now by a scientific tyranny. We can't give the world up to a bunch of vicious control freaks. And I see all these hollow people who have money, who have power, and they're so unhappy because they've never tuned in to what it really is to be human and realize that we're all just part of the species, and the measure of who we are and the value of who we are is how we empower humanity. And then once you reach this point, you're not worried about being killed or tortured. You're only worried about beating the enemy. Bob Chapman.
I agree completely. And, of course, being older, and, you know, you're young enough to be my son. In fact, my son's 41 years old. And your fear leaves. There is no fear anymore because you know that your body and your mind eventually are going to break down. It's the causation of existence as a human being. And so you become freer and freer and freer. And, you know, you walk on air. They can't touch you. There's nothing they can do. And that's the time that all of you people out there who are in 60s and 70s and 80s should get together and do something positive and help, because there's so many people sitting around doing nothing when they could be doing something. And if you sit around doing nothing, you're going to atrophy physically and mentally. So let's help out. Don't turn your back on it. Don't be mad because you're going to die. Everybody has to. There's no way out of this world except that way. And so get with it.
Yeah, the world sells us a certain selfishness that being involved or standing up or fighting is somehow weak, and that just caring about yourself and greedily hiding with a bunch of crap and a bunch of baubles is success, when the whole point of humanity is helping your tribe, helping your people, helping build something for the future, because I'm going to die, but my progeny are going to go on forever unless I let these people win. And it just, if people could grasp, Bob, what you and I grasp, and this unchanging, total truth, we would free ourselves overnight. And to see the whole world in the grip of the beast, it's just such an illusion. It's such a trance. It's a hoax. It's a fraud. It's a lie. The InternationalForecaster.com, I think this is one of our best interviews ever. Bob, have a great weekend, and God bless you, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much, and thank you all for listening.
We'll come back in the final segment with some final thoughts. Folks, you're not a human being until you stand up against tyranny. You were born to fight corruption. You were born to stand against the king rat. And life and experience. It is the job of good, virtuous men and women who love innocence and beauty and honor to spend our time to sacrifice our energies against tyranny. Does that mean any of us are perfect? No. The world will come back at you the old serpent will come at you and tell you you're not good, you're bad, and point out to you the things you've done that are wrong. That doesn't matter. What matters is your heart. Like God said to King David, your heart was right. Didn't matter even some of the mistakes and bad things he did. At the end of the day, he was a good man. And to the listeners out there, I have become the main symbol worldwide of resistance to the New World Order. The only other person who could rival what we've done here is Ron Paul. And he is a great statesman and a good man, but he's old. And I have searched the world for bona fide patriots, people who are real, people who I've watched for a long time. And I find them with the common people. I don't find them with the elitist. I don't find them with the globalist. I don't find them even in much of the people that you would see as leadership against the fight against the New World Order. And many times I say, I'm not cut out for this job. The responsibility is too great. The power I've been given is humbling. Yesterday, I pulled into a Mexican food restaurant to eat quickly. I had to come back to work and work till late in the evening. And the people at the door were listeners. As I walked by the bar, they were listeners. A woman came over from a table. A family came over. People from New Zealand who were there stopped and took photos with me and said, New Zealand is on fire with you, Alex Jones. I have a great responsibility. And it is because my heart is true and I'm real and I work hard that we've had this much success. And we go into very dark waters. The enemy is moving against us on every front. But they don't want to yet smash me because that will make me a martyr. And I pledge this to you. I will do the best job I can possibly in this weak body and this flesh to be a pure, good person. But at the end of the day, that doesn't even matter. Because no doubt, I will fail as many times as I succeed. And I am just as worldly as the next person. But I want to be good and I want to defeat the tyranny. But through you, we will defeat the New World Order with God's help. Remember that. It is the idea of freedom, the idea of liberty, the idea of honor, and everything that is good and pure that will trump the lie. And so remember the important mission you're on and just how serious the times are that we're in. The destiny of humanity is being decided right now. For many generations in the future, our progeny will look back on this time as a place where humanity stood up against tyranny, or as a time when we fell to total darkness. God bless you all. Great job, crew. Your transmission starts now.